about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
So here we go, guys. Two men enter, one man leaves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
VIG!
Everything is falling apart, and like birds are dying. I mean, birds are dying, and it's like hard, you know, to like wake up every day and know that like there are bad things happening, and this bird was just like a symbol of that.
I have one thing to say: all girls are sheep.
Whoa!
There it is.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a world of happiness.
We have a great show for you tonight. Who mistake is here? No? Who is it?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yo, ready?
I was born ready.
Don't bogart that joint.
They do stuff to you, bro.
Roll another one.
What is going on in there?
Just like the other one.
Do you get paid more if they do stuff to you, bud?
This one seems to be allowed to quit.
Banned by the FCC.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
Let's all keep it funky now.
Roll another one.
His testicles, you know, are bleeding.
Just like the other one.
It's gross.
This one seems to be about
as bad. I am extremely hairy.
And I don't have.
Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan as Paramore as I am?
But the world got that joint.
What does that mean?
Just pass it around.
Can I get up and amen?
And the world got that joint, my friend.
Go Ducks. Bye, guys.
Or just pass it on down.
And now.
And right now. It's time to cash checks and have sex, man.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 25th of January.
Yeah, it is.
Mm.
So, hey, Kevin, you were here yesterday.
Right.
But we got into a discussion somehow about how great Red Vines are and how awful Twizzlers are.
Right.
And we were shocked to find, first of all, you agree, obviously, because you're an American.
I do agree, but I don't hate Twizzlers as much as everybody else. But I do love Red Vines by far.
Yeah, Twizzlers are trash.
And they're right? Not trash, but I mean, it's...
Well, they're garbage.
What you're saying is you'd never eat them and they're gross.
I mean, I'd eat them if they were the only thing available, sure.
But you wouldn't because they taste like plastic.
Okay, no.
And I mean, I'm getting to the bottom of what you're saying. You're okay. Saying that Red Vines are good, Twizzlers are like taste like sewage?
I mean, that's not exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying if that's the only thing that they have there at the theater, mm-hmm. I'll get it and I'll eat it and I'll go subpar.
Okay, I speak, Kevin.
Okay, what
Kevin
is he
means, what Kevin is actually saying is, mm-hmm. given the choice between Twizzlers and starving, he
right.
would starve. He would die.
Okay, he'd makes die. Sense.
Okay. Yeah. Then we're all on the same page.
Right.
Okay. Good. Right. Rich writes in. Here's a follow-up. Today you guys forgot one licorice item that sometimes makes its way into my truck stop gut. Nibs.
Oh, ironically, little tiny ones?
Ironically,
pieces?
Made by Twizzlers, but not the same. For the win, by the way, obviously, is Red Vines. OG Twizzlers are junk. But what about Nibs? He wants to know.
I don't know if I know Nibs.
Oh, I know Nibs.
You
we
do?
We didn't consider Nibs yesterday.
Small cylinders.
Okay.
Probably mm-hmm. about this big.
Okay.
Little cylinders. And they're red. And then they're... I will say, they're too hard.
Okay, but right. What about taste?
Not great. I would
better,
put them in with Twizzlers.
Better than Twizzlers.
Well, anything's better than Twizzlers.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
But how are they made by the same company, but they don't taste like Twizzlers?
They're Twizzler nibs.
Then shouldn't they taste like Twizzlers?
Yeah, but they're not as waxy. Do you know the wax?
Is it because there's less of it?
Well, it's because yes, and there's also because a company can't make two horrid candies. They have to make one that's a little better.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a legal thing.
So nibs still go in the no column then?
I would never buy Twizzler nibs. That seems
nibs, okay.
Again, why not just get red vines?
Yeah.
Right, but let's say red vines aren't available.
Mm-hmm. Where is
Did
that?
You get nubs?
Is that Nazi
nibs
Germany?
Or whatever they are?
are you
He just said nubs, everybody.
Nubs
I mean I get
are.
Those. I get nubs.
Well, I think if red vines aren't available, you just get yourself a a Snickers bar, Three Musketeers. You go a different direction.
Even like a Nerd Rope.
I mean, really, all of those are good choices.
Yeah, way better.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to add that to the conversation.
I love Nerd Rope because Nerd Rope is like, it's like gay red vines. Do you know what I mean? They're like, they're colorful and exciting and wee! Like they're just a better time than regular. It's the same way.
You have more fun with them than you do red vines.
Yeah.
But it tastes like nerds?
Yeah. And
wow.
then a real small licorice in between, like underneath.
Where have I been?
Well, I'm bringing a Nerd Rope
in this
next
candy
week.
World.
Yeah.
We don't know how to answer that.
Jensen, I suspect that everything that you liked growing up was just nerd and then fill in the blank, whatever the thing was.
Well,
right?
You eat what you are.
You watch nerd TV, played nerd sports.
That's right. Red Hots.
Yeah.
What? All right.
All right. Do we have time for another food related thing?
Sure.
Always. I could have saved this for great news on Monday, but I love this story. And I actually I wanted to have a little bit more time with it than we do during that segment. What do you do? I'm sure we have parents who have encountered this. You have an autistic child like this Eric McKay, 15 years old, Northern Virginia, and he will only eat one food. How do you keep that kid healthy if literally the only thing he will eat is the thing that he eats?
How old is he?
15.
I'm assuming it's not Brussels sprouts.
He only eats peanut butter and jelly English muffins breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, it's just a parent problem.
But it could be worse.
It's just a parent problem. Yeah,
but
I agree.
You can start incorporating into different foods.
But they would say no, and then as a parent, you would have to say yes.
Yeah, but with autism, it's
with autism,
that,
yeah,
it's difficult.
It's hard to rationalize.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, you can't. You don't hold the kid down and force feed him.
No, of course
not.
But we don't have peanut butter jelly tonight. You try to work your way into it.
I mean, I don't have any. I don't have any experience.
Same,
dealing.
Especially with autistic children,
right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, I think that's a real tough position to be in because you want to please this child and
you want the kid to eat something.
Yeah,
peanut butter one day and something else, and then like jelly one day and something else, and try to sort of start split it up slowly.
Well, I don't have the full backstory on how they manage it, but the mom does. She did buy 72 jars of peanut butter at one time of this particular brand when they were on sale for 78 cents each. And her autistic son numbered them all, 1 through 72.
Oh, boy.
And then when he got to the last one, by the way, his nickname, I don't know what his real name is. His nickname is Bean.
All right.
And his Twitter is Bean Philosopher.
Wow.
So when he got down to the last one, he tweeted the peanut butter company, which I think is called Liddell or Little, something like that. He tweeted at them and said, "Hey, it's time for you to have another sale. I'm down to my last jar of peanut butter. I've eaten 72 jars of your peanut butter. When are you going to put them on sale again?" Right? So they tweeted him back and said, "We will give you a lifetime supply of peanut butter."
Aww.
If you get 72,000 retweets.
Well, that seems...
Jeez.
Make the kid jump through hoops, right?
as if he hasn't already been through enough.
Right. And this does seem to be the thing that businesses look at as a way to use social media, is just to force you into retweeting, right? Okay. So he had 5 followers at the time, but as these things tend to do, it went viral, and he, slowly but surely, 10,000, 40,000, 60,000, and then ended up with 76,000 retweets and over 2,300 followers at the time. So he won his lifetime supply of peanut butter. Then he decided...
He didn't like it.
Then he said he was
tell me
over
that.
Peanut butter.
he tweeted at Skippy. I need more lifetimes.
Then he decided, and this is why it might have been a nice great news story, that he decided his father was among those who have been furloughed with the government shutdown. Aww. So he decided he wanted to give away all of that peanut butter that they were donating to him.
Wow.
for workers that were unpaid. Oh. So they set it up at the peanut butter store in Dumfries, Virginia. Come on by with a government ID. Everyone's entitled to take 3 jars of peanut butter, which I think is an adorable story.
It's yeah, lovely. That's very nice.
All those retweets, though.
Still stuck on that?
Just wasted them.
Hey, he did cut away. Ended up with nothing.
Nothing.
So now, does his mom have to go out and buy full-price peanut butter, I guess, right? Because sales not going on. They got all this free peanut butter kid gave away.
At Peter Pan. You know what I mean? Yeah. Got to go somewhere else.
For sure.
Just move on to the next company.
Move on.
But anyway, it's just, it's nice. You know, it's hard to get inside and understand how an autistic brain works. But
right.
that empathy part is definitely still working for Little Bean. And he's helping others who need it more than he does in this case. So I think that's a wonderful story and a great way to get started on a Friday.
And that's Bean's great news.
That was Ellie's story, by the way.
Yeah, I already sent that in for Monday.
So, did you really?
Yeah. It's cool.
I didn't see that.
No,
we'll
I
do
know.
It later. So
yeah,
no one
cool.
will know.
It's cool.
And
yeah. Thank you.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I'll see you guys in hell.
Oh.
Wow.
Monkey is coming into the studio today from Cork.
Yeah, he is.
We're excited about that with Brandon Mendehall. They made a fantastic movie called Mind Over Matter.
Mm-hmm. I have a song I want to play for him.
Does it involve stars?
Yeah.
Does it involve corn?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Can we do that off the air?
It's up to you guys if you don't want radio gold.
A brand new internet roundup? Millennials are not having sex.
I'm a millennial.
I don't know what this means.
All the research shows that that generation is having less sex, fewer sexual partners, fewer sexual encounters than any generation before.
Why?
And the Today Show did a deep dive into it to talk to millennials to find out what the reasons are, and I think you'll be interested
Why?
In this. Why? Well, just because.
Wow. let's keep it a bean. Is written in front of me.
Yeah.
Now, is this the good bean that we work with, or the bad bean that we work with, or the good one with the peanut butter?
You'll have to find out.
Okay.
I am on the pulse of slang.
Okay. Mark Hoppus will join us in studio.
Is too much show.
This is a lot of show.
Another new band. This one with Alex from All Time Low, and it's called Simple Creatures. They've got a new song out. We're going to have him in studio coming up a little bit later this morning. Stryker is going to try and shoot free throws.
This is too much.
I'm nervous for him, but I believe in him.
What is he putting on the line for it? Why are you nervous? What could he lose?
A 50 out of 100 is a lot, but we're going to figure out how this confidence has come to him.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah, what is the bet? Does anyone know?
His dog Bonsai. He has to give it to Kevin Klein, which is a bummer.
Seems way too
he
hard.
He loves Bonsai. I don't know what the bet is.
It's a lot to put on the line for free throws.
He actually has to kill himself if he misses 50. So it's a real tough bet.
And it's Friday, so keep it 100 coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
All right, Allie, time for what's happening. Bring us some good news. What do you got?
All right. Well, this had everybody talking yesterday. When you see a teaser with Jeff Bridges wearing that same Pendleton sweater that he wears in The Big Lebowski, people are thinking, oh, here it is. This is it, you guys. It is The Big Lebowski Part 2, right?
I would think so.
A little teaser, and then at the end, it had the date 2/3/19, which is the date of the Super Bowl. So then people were saying, well, it's obviously just a Super Bowl commercial that he's going to be in. Then people were saying, it's a Super Bowl commercial for The Big Lebowski 2. So
wow.
People were losing their minds yesterday. Like, could the Coen brothers have done this under wraps? Is there any way? Listen, I guess we'll find out on
you don't have the
February
answer?
3rd night. No, nobody what? Does. This is a big mystery, you guys.
I feel like it's just a Super Bowl ad that they got the dude to do.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what I think is interesting about Jeff Bridges. Mm-hmm. He has had an amazing career.
Right.
He's an Oscar winner. He's been in a dozen classic movies. He loves The Big Lebowski.
He
has no problem like being completely identified with that being his most famous and beloved movie. You know, you think it would be just one of many for him, but he seems to really embrace the love. I think there's a lot of dude in Jeff, I guess is what
absolutely.
I'm saying.
He shows up at the Lebowski Fest a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he embraces it and takes it on. And I think you see with that type of thing, like people who do that, it goes a long way.
A long way, yeah.
Absolutely.
Like Henry Winkler loves the Fonz.
Oh,
and now look at him.
Should.
That's right.
Oh, Love them so much. I think that really tied this whole story together, guys. See, because that's a rug joke. Well, anyway, we'll find out on February 3rd, 2019. We're less than, what, a week and a half away?
Yeah, it's a week from Sunday.
We can sit tight, right? No?
Sure.
I do love, though, that people possibly think that they were somehow able to film a Big Lebowski 2 and nobody knew about it. Like, how do you keep that under wraps?
Well, I do want to say one thing.
What?
John Turturro did film a Jesus movie under wraps, sort of.
That no one knew about?
John Turturro, and a Jesus movie.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it would be cool. I don't mean Jesus Christ.
Oh.
I mean Jesus, like the bowler.
What's from happening? The Big Lebowski.
From the Big Lebowski. Oh. Remember his?
Yeah.
He would lick
I am totally like, why would people be like, woo, can't wait for that Jesus movie?
No, also, why would I bring that up?
And why? That's why I'm saying
no one
that's
messes
not
with
a...
No one messes with the Jesus, man.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got
it. He did a whole side story where it was just going to be about him. I don't know when it's going to be released and stuff, but he filmed it like last year, somewhat secret, then it got out.
What if
but he has
wow, you just changed my mind.
Oh, I don't know if the dude's in it. But.
That would be fantastic.
And there were, I mean, there weren't big stars in it, but like the last Cloverfield movie was a surprise. It just dropped one day, for instance. I mean, people do stuff like that, but big star like Jeff Bridges, you're right. Somebody might have heard about it.
Yeah.
What if Jeff Bridges is doing a Jesus movie?
Jesus?
Oh, sorry.
Like the Lord and Savior Jesus.
The Jesus movie is called Going Places, and it says it's still coming out this year.
Okay.
And it tells you why.
Do we need all of that?
It supposedly tells you why he was a pedophile.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And right? It's not what you think, I guess. Because I thought that would be celebrated.
Oh, you
right
mean
now.
He had a good reason?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wait, Kevin, do you think that there's a good reason that maybe he could be a pedophile? Just, is like, reasoning-wise.
No.
Oh, okay.
Why do you ask me that?
Well, just checking.
Okay.
So there's not a good reason is what you're saying.
No.
Call now.
Call now.
Poor Kevin. Everybody stop it. Hey, guys. New performers added to the Grammys list. You ready for a little Miley Cyrus?
Always.
Brandi Carlile.
Oh, I love her.
H.E.R.
I mean, I've never seen her perform live, so I guess I'm interested. I mean, she certainly has blown up the last few months.
I love that album.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
They're not on this list?
Not on the list.
But another surprise. Band that I was like, what? Hmm? Huh? What? Not sure if you've heard of them. God,
Cherry Pop and Daddy?
No, no. It's a band.
That would be awesome, though, wouldn't it?
It would be huge. They just headline it. Like, everybody's waiting for special guest performance, and it's them.
Owl City?
Not Owl City.
Mm.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I would be down with that, though.
Yeah. Think of the band that we play on here way more than any other band.
Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Indeed, the Red Hot Chili Peppers will be taking the stage during the Grammy Awards. What?
Usually they like to pair them up with somebody else.
They're paired up.
They say anything?
Yeah, they're paired up with Post Malone.
Is he booed up?
Whoa.
Booed up? What?
Nope.
No?
Okay.
No. Okay.
Show starts at 6, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, see, nobody could see that he pressed a drop that didn't work, so then we just sat here staring at each other.
And my drop was just, nope.
So there was dead silence, and we're just staring. It was uncomfortable and weird.
People tune out.
Yeah. We're going to start at 6. Don't worry about it, you guys.
People haven't started listening yet, so we're good. It's just a run-through.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Hey, the Grammys. Here in L.A., February 10th at Staples Center. Some birthdays for you. Weird. She's hosting the Grammys. Her name is Alicia Keys, and that's the only birthday I have on this list.
Excellent.
That's what's happening.
This, story might be surprising to some people. Very different from when I was growing up, because you remember when I was in the Boy Scouts, you remember the badge I got, right?
No, I don't, Bean.
For banging. But apparently...
I'm surprised that they gave those out in the Boy Scouts.
It's weird. It is weird.
To be honest.
But apparently, young people, millennials in particular, are having less sex than any other previous generation. And the Today Show looked into that this week.
New research shows millennials are having less sex than ever before, leading to what some experts are calling a sex recession. Adults in their early 20s are 2.5 times as likely to be abstinent than Gen Xers were at that age, putting them on track to have fewer sex partners than both Gen X and Boomers.
Get it together, people. It's not hard. Right?
Maybe that's the problem.
Maybe. Again, I appreciate the nightclub ambiance on the news story, which is apparently just it's on all the news now. Like, you can't do a story without there being some sort of bass and drums going on in the background.
So why the low libido? I sat down with a group of millennials to find out.
I was reading an article with the headline that said millennials are in a sexual recession, and it surprised me. Does that headline surprise you all?
Completely.
Yes.
No.
That
one guy, no. No, please.
That dude hasn't had it in a long time.
You can tell. Although if you saw this piece, his sideburns could be the problem for him. That is the voice of, if you don't recognize it, by the way, that is George W. Bush's daughter, Jenna Bush. Jenna Bush Hager, I think is her married name, who has been a correspondent on the Today Show for a number of years now. But she's doing the interview with these actual millennials to find out what the reasons are. What do you think the number one reason is, Kevin, that millennials are not having sex?
Boy, that's the only thing that I could think is they're too busy, but then you hear these stories that the millennials are very lazy. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're going to be surprised by the answer.
I don't know.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Why?
I think there's a lot of responsibilities that millennials have today that past generations didn't have, so we don't have that freedom. It's harder to get a job today. Student loans. Yeah. Being overworked and underpaid does not exactly make me feel sexy.
Now, does that guy is super unhappy.
Does that hold water with you? First of all,
no.
is it hard to get a job? And the reason I ask that is because we have, 98% employment or something in this country right now. There are so many companies out there desperate. They can't find enough workers. Is it hard to get a job?
I think
right
it
now?
Certainly has been in the last year. It certainly has been.
Has been hard to get a job.
Yes, yeah.
That was not the number one choice I would have thought it would have been.
What would you have thought?
I would have thought more kids, millennials, are living at home now than ever. Mm-hmm. Like, it used to be, you go to college, you're gone, you're out of the house. But more are living at home, so you're not boning with mom.
Now it's mom,
room.
Please, just give me the night.
That's what I'm saying.
Allie, I think that's maybe coming up next.
Rising economic pressures have nicknamed millennials the boomerang generation. A third of 25 to 29-year-olds still live at home with their parents.
There it is.
The highest percentage in 75 years.
Can't exactly, bring somebody home.
Hey, Mom.
This is my mom.
Does every generation feel like their generation has it hardest and their generation
has the
most pressure on it than any other generation before?
Absolutely.
Of course. And I'll tell you something else. I'm so tired of any article that starts out millennials.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if it's, I don't know, it just seems so hack.
Yeah, it's
but
real
millennials
dumb.
Killed napkins,
right.
And they killed golf, and they killed cheese.
And Applebee's and recliners.
Every bad
thing
that gets done is in the name of millennials.
All right, let's hear more from the panel as to why they're not getting any.
That would be awkward.
Yeah. People don't usually want more sex, they want better sex.
Yeah.
It's not fulfilling on whatever level it is, either the connection you feel with that person, the connection you feel with yourself.
Mental health. Mm-hmm. Has a lot to do with it. I know that a lot of my friends, myself and my partner, all struggle with mental health, and that can have like a direct effect on your libido.
Okay, let's talk about those two things. First of all, since when are we into quality over quantity when it comes to sex?
They've got the wrong thinking here, right?
They totally are upside down on
it's
that.
It's all about quantity right now.
It
they can think about that later.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Now's not the time to worry about the best sex you've ever had. Now's the time to worry about the sex. And how about the mental health? I mean, what's your interpretation of that? As the young man says that a lot of people are having mental health issues more than ever before. Maybe
he's saying more people on antidepressants and some of the side effects are lowered libido.
It didn't sound like he said that, though.
That is what he was
intent?
Referring to,
yeah.
But he didn't say it.
Do you think he also thinks that people are kind of too in their own heads at that age now? They're
sure.
Depressed?
Sure.
That makes sense.
And that makes you not want to party. All right,
I don't know, though. Depression, I feel like that would help.
It's some good sex when
right.
you're super sad.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the best way out of a depression.
You brought up a really interesting point. There's studies that say there's rise in anxiety and depression for millennials in particular. I wonder why people are feeling more anxious than ever.
Your dad, for starters.
Wow. My dad?
No,
it was. That got weird.
That's George W. Bush's Jenna Bush. Daughter.
Yeah. Oh. I think the expectations on what we should be capable of, since we have so much more available to us, puts a lot of pressure.
I think we have so many tools that save time, so we're supposed to do more with our time.
Do you think that's true? Do you think we're put more pressure on 20-year-olds now to accomplish stuff? I've given up on 20-year-olds accomplishing stuff. I'm stunned when I see a 20-year-old accomplishing stuff.
And when she said, we have so many things to save time, I just thought vibrator, right?
Is that what she was saying?
Right?
Could be what
she
meant.
I don't believe a word of anything they just said.
Yeah. I do believe, though, that there is so much more stimuli now. They've got porn anywhere you want to find it. There's mm-hmm. Netflix you can watch 24/7.
Right.
There are other things to occupy your time.
But instead of, not in addition to sex, instead of sex.
Yeah.
No.
I feel like that's something that goes a long way with
well,
that.
We're out of time on the tape, but I will say there's one more item that came up that I absolutely believe is true, and that is the dating apps have cheapened dating for a lot of people. They don't meet face-to-face. Mm-hmm. There's not as much chemistry. There's not as much incentive that way, and you always have something better one swipe away.
Right.
And I think that has seriously screwed with the way it's been done for thousands of years. Is it just, you know, on and gone and on to the next one? You know what I mean?
I mean, upside, less kids, right?
Hi, we are simple creatures. We just woke up from a very long sleep. We have so much to tell you, but for the moment, all we can say is we are glad you are here and we made music for you. That's the introductory tweet from the new band Simple Creatures with Alex from All Time Low and our friend Mark from Blink-182, who will be here next half hour to tell us more on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
I've been keeping that secret.
Have you?
It's been hard.
Oh, you've known.
I have.
It's been. Is you and Mark are buds?
Well, and Alex. Close with Alex as well.
How long?
Well, I mean, I could talk. Yeah. 6 months?
Why aren't you in the band?
Well, I am. I'm the triangle player. But they thought for press it's better to keep me in the back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to keep a bean with you guys, though.
What?
I'm going to keep it a bean. That I knew about it, but I figured.
What's keep it a bean?
That's a slang term.
Uh-huh. That means...
Well, let me start. Here's the thing. I'm an NBA head. I watch as much basketball as possible.
Okay. You can't just be a fan. You have to be an NBA head.
Yeah, no, I'm an NBA head. And so much so that I watch post-press conferences.
Wow!
Because they're funny and sometimes...
Most of the time they're dull. Sometimes they're funny.
Well, basketball, yes. Football's okay. Rough.
Yeah,
don't watch those.
Yeah.
Basketball, though... sometimes every once in a while something gets brought up and you're like, did he just say that? And so recently DeMarcus Cousins played his first game of the season. It's kind of a story that people are excited to see over at Golden State. And he started talking and then he said this when someone asked him a question.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Okay.
I'm going to keep it a bean.
I'm going to keep it a bean.
That's what he said.
Now, what?
Immediately my ears pop up because always listening for drops.
Right.
And keep it a bean, pretty good.
Yeah.
So I started to do a deep dive on keep it a bean.
I'm going to just keep it a bean.
Yeah. And listen to how natural he
yeah,
sounds.
Yeah. Like he's been saying it for 10 years.
Yeah. And he may have because this is a much deeper and historic slang term than I thought. At Urban Dictionary, it says it means keeping it real, let's get it, keep it flowing, and stay fresh.
All of the things we associate with beans.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all very
staying fresh.
I feel like I should be suing somebody right now for biting my look.
This is a guy who off air has repeatedly been telling us to wish a famous hippo happy birthday during what's happening.
That's correct, yes.
So I'm pretty sure he keeps it a bean.
Mm-hmm.
In Urban Dictionary, it says that this is the like example of dialogue. Bob, all right, yo, I'll see you later. Keep it a bean. Larry says back to him, all right, deuces.
Okay.
I mean, I doubt Bob and Larry are having that conversation.
No, definitely not.
I do too.
So I went deeper, and I found a video by a rapper-producer named Made in Tokyo who explains not only keep it a bean, but I'm a give it a bean, a bunch of different ways you could say bean. Let's listen to that.
On a bean, on point. Your bean is your point. If you're on bean, you're on point. You could be on a baked bean. You could be on a barbecue bean. You could be on a lima bean. Whatever, it could be a bean situation. If you're in the studio and you're like, yo, turn my headphones up. And then you be like, you sitting here and you singing, you trying to get your situation right. And then he gets you right and you hear it and you sounding like genuine. You be like, yo, got me on a bean. Got me on a bean, yo, you got me on a bean. We lit.
So that's it. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you could say keep it a bean. I'm on a bean.
Uh-huh.
When? How did you track how far back this goes?
This goes back like 15 years.
Does it really?
No.
There's many. Here's the story. It seems to be, I can't get one direct definition. I mean, I can get the definition. I can't get the space of origin.
Right.
So, like, some people say it started in Atlanta. That seems to be one of the more
our people.
Popular ones. Yes, our
mm-hmm.
people.
Uh-huh.
They're going to meet the Ramilly soon. And we'll know Keep It a Bean when we get there.
Right?
Yeah.
And then there's people.
Right, we're going to say, we're going to be all excited. We're going to say it, and somebody's going to look at us like,
what are you doing?
What are you talking about?
There's a lot of people who think it started in Oakland as well. It's sort of all over the place. But how consistent is this? Let's listen to a bunch of songs that say Keep It a Bean in it. First, this is Kerr with a song called Keep It a Bean.
This is just too weird.
Keep it a bean. There's so many.
Let's keep it a bean. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I already knew she wasn't gonna keep it a bean.
Come on.
We all gonna be cool. I promise I'll put that on rain.
Okay.
Did you know this bean?
No.
You didn't know anything about it.
Never
me either.
Heard of it before.
No. Then the next song is a guy named Jameer.
Is it still in this one?
No.
Clip?
Just okay. Move on. This one is called, guess what it's called?
Something about beans.
It's called Keep It a Bean. Keep it's a by bean. Jameer.
Know that. I keep it a bean. We all keep it 300. 215 to 4 when I run. Look at my team, you don't see us coming. Look at my team,
better
know we coming. Cause I keep it a bean, we y'all keep it 300.
Yeah, okay.
This is like, not. Is it like keep it 100 so a bean is like a number?
No, no one knows that. That's not in
Why?
Any of the reasoning.
Because it sounds like it's being used a lot, very similarly to keep it 100.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, let's ask Eat a Goat featuring Rizzy Raw.
Just keep it the beam, bitch, I am a queen. Ay, 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 ay. Just keep it the beam, bitch, I am a queen. Ay, ay, just keep it the beam, bitch, I am a queen. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
What? That's
oh,
a song.
You want more? Here's what? Mally with a song called Keep It a Bean.
Hey, when I'm going all in, I give it a bean. One thing about me, I keep it a bean. They ain't really on their job, let's keep it a bean. They ain't really working for my squad, let's keep it a bean.
What?
Let's keep it going.
Is...
This is wreaking havoc with
what?
Keep It a Bean.
Long as you with me, you can fuck the whole scene with me. Long as you keep it a bean. Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
I found 18 songs called Keep It a Bean.
Oh, my God.
Ranging from 4 views to 500,000
Wow.
Views.
Yeah. Jensen, how did you not know about this earlier with all the time you spent on Black Twitter?
I have no idea. I think that this, number one, needs to be championed. Mm-hmm. I think we could be at the forefront.
Well, on Fridays, we do Keep It a Bean.
Right.
And I have fun with people text in.
By the way, we have enough references to play a
so
montage.
Can I, me, older white guy, can I keep
no.
it a bean?
No, no.
Honestly, your name is Bean.
Right.
I can't think of someone who deserves to use this term more.
Mm. But could he pull it off is the question.
Try it, Bean.
All right, there's your answer. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I was just listening to your segment about why millennials are having less and less sex. As a 30-year-old and millennial, I would like to jump in on this topic. I think one answer could be that people are too afraid to meet and talk out of fear of offending someone. Political correctness is not a healthy culture.
Nope.
I feel like it's not a healthy culture, but is that a thing that you worry about person to person?
That's a dude not having sex that's blaming everyone else.
I mean, would a guy think, hey, I just don't understand dating anymore? The world is too complicated.
That guy's dumb.
I can't navigate it. Is that what?
Back in the 60s, you could be a real idiot and just get all the women. It's like, no, right. Dude. You're not in Mad Men, bro.
Allie is here with What's Happening, and then we got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, and then our friend Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 and a new band he'll talk about called Simple Creatures. That's all coming up straight ahead on K-Rock.
Very exciting.
Wow.
Quite the studio audience we have today. Amazing. So this Bryan Singer situation is getting just weirder and weirder. So he, of course, is the director that's had some accusations in the past about sexual misconduct with underage boys. And there was a report that came out published by The Atlantic on Wednesday that said, basically, brand new accusers accused of sexual misconduct, including rape. They talked to 50 people for this story. 50
wow.
people. Here's where it gets real, real weird. Bryan Singer last year had tweeted or Instagrammed that there's going to be an article coming out in Esquire and it's all lies, blah, blah, blah. That article never came out in Esquire.
He was going to get the jump on the story.
He was going to get a jump on it. Well, here's the thing. The writers of the story had gone through all the proper channels. That Esquire moved all the way up. Lawyers, everyone signed off on it. And then executives at their publisher, which is owned by Hearst Publishing, killed the story.
Wow.
So they killed the story. So the two writers were like, all right, bring it to the Atlantic. And Atlantic's like, yeah, we'll take that story. So they published it. Why would Hearst Media kill the story? Very concerning to a lot of people, number one. Number two, he is now up to direct the movie Red Sonja and make $10 million. So we were all saying, there's no way that they'll be able to do this, right? There's no way. Who's going to back this guy? Well, the head of Millennium Films, who's doing Red Sonja, is a gentleman named Avi Lerner. And he said yesterday, I know the difference between agenda-driven fake news and reality, and I'm very comfortable with this decision, the decision to keep Bryan Singer on.
So he's just decided that everyone who says that they were sexually assaulted by this man is lying.
I believe he believes that because he's standing by it. But this man was also accused of sexual harassment in his company. And he's also the same man that Terry Crews testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee that this man called his agent and said, kill the story about that WME agent, Adam, what's his name? Adam Bennett, that grabbed Terry Crews's junk, essentially. Said, kill the story or he's not in the next Expendables. So I feel like there's a lot of weird shadiness with all of this. But here's the whole thing. Bryan Singer still going to direct Red Sonja. Who's starring in that? Who's going to say, okay, yeah, I want to be in that. I want to be a part of this whole monstrosity.
It does seem like a mess before anything gets started.
It really does.
Can James Woods play Red Sonja?
Possibly.
Okay. All right.
It's all just cuckoo. But a petition has surfaced to oust Bryan Singer as the director. And they're just looking for some, you know, people to sign that petition at change.org. It's all a lot of different levels of shady. Mm-hmm. And why are people protecting people like this? I'm saying burn Hollywood down. That's essentially the point of my whole story. Burn Hollywood down.
I don't think we can do
one
that.
One person.
Okay.
Yeah.
No? All right. You guys have any tattoos?
Do not. I have a ton.
Not yet.
I have tons.
A ton. Not yet, first of all. No.
I'm holding out.
Okay. All right. Chip has tattoos. Jensen has tattoos.
Like 25 or something.
Okay. A new survey reveals
you don't sound excited about having those 25.
I do. I just, you know, I hide most of them. You don't really see them much.
All right.
Are there any you'd take back, Jensen, if you had an opportunity to do it all over again?
Really?
No, I'm very lucky. The Bill Cosby one sucks, but, like, I live with it. I got it at a certain time in my life.
Well, a new survey has revealed that those with tattoos were more likely to have been current smokers, spent time in jail, had a higher number of sexual partners, and have mental health issues than those without body art. Are you a current smoker?
No.
Spent time in jail?
No.
High number of sex partners?
Nope.
All right. Tattooed respondents were also found to be more likely to have been diagnosed with a sleep disorder.
I don't have a sleep disorder, but didn't you say just mental health at all?
Mental health.
Well, I have OCD. We've openly talked about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What about a sleep disorder?
Who doesn't?
I don't have a sleep disorder.
But that's only one out of five or six. That's not
bad. You're not good.
It's a shaky story. Is it Jensen or a shaky story?
No, it said we interviewed 2,000 people, including Jensen.
I see.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah, it's very specific.
How about you, Chip? How do you fall in those categories?
Obviously sexual partners.
So she's banging constantly.
Right.
Like, we have to grab her during breaks. We're like, you can't be boning right now. We're coming back in 2 minutes.
She's like, get me out of my life, Allie.
That's all it'll take. And then we're like, who's in there with her? It's weird, but yeah. Sleep disorder?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're not sleeping.
That's true.
Too much boning.
That's a disorder.
That's what I'm saying. All right, you guys, some birthdays for you. Alicia Keys. And I'm going to bring this up because Bean won't stop talking about...
Oh, don't do that for that.
The most famous hippo in all the land.
Why would you reward
Fiona,
him for this?
The hippo, because I want you to... I want you to explain who Fiona the hippo is.
Kevin, stop playing the annoying horns. Little Fiona was born 2 years ago today. She was a serious preemie. She only weighed 29 pounds, and mm-hmm. it was thought there was no way she would survive. And not only did she thrived, and now she is over 1,000 pounds and is the star attraction at the Cincinnati Zoo. So happy second birthday, Fiona.
And we said, Bean, why would we mention that? And he said, it's all anyone was talking about 2 years ago.
Two years ago, Fiona was huge.
And then Dave was
2 years ago.
Dave was in the room, first of all, which he would be the one that be like, oh, Fiona the Hippo. Sure, Dave was like, I don't know Fiona the Hippo.
No one does.
No.
He just doesn't remember. Fiona was adorable.
Was it the same time that giraffe was faking her pregnancy?
It was about the same time, yeah. Yeah, it was.
F that giraffe and F this hippo. Agreed. That's what's happening.
Happy birthday. Do I hear that Mark Hoppus is in the building?
I believe you do.
Fantastic. Excuse me. He'll be joining us in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk about the new band that he is a part of. And we'll get caught up with other Blink news as well. Our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, is here. It's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean, they have a great show. But they do something there that you might not know. But they find all the awesome videos so you won't have to. They call Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so...
Thank you, Linda. Okay, fine. And hi to everyone in the nursing home in Maine. It's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. By the way, Dave, you're going day two with the new hairstyle, and I'm going to tell you, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it looks good.
Yeah.
Tip, don't comb your hair. Kevin told me that. And it's working.
If you want to take fashion advice from anyone, it's me.
Yeah. It looks good.
So, thank you, man.
This is a great batch of the best viral videos of the week. A couple of them we can't really do much with on the radio because they're visual. But the guy who goes out with 35 degrees below zero and shoots boiling water into the air that just turns into a cloud, essentially, is astonishing to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Let's try
it. I don't know why you want to live someplace where it's 35 degrees below zero, but I guess if you can make a cool video, why not, right? You also have some people who are on a ski slope. They get charged, almost attacked by a moose. That's not
almost.
Something you see every day.
It charges them.
It's charged.
And they're just skiing away.
Yeah. Moose are terrifying.
Yeah. This was in Colorado.
Yeah, they are way bigger than people think.
Mm-hmm.
And Steph Curry tries to explain his falling on the court the other night during the game against the Lakers.
That was the best.
It was funny.
And I don't know if you saw, but he slipped trying to dunk a ball without anyone playing defense.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then went over to take a 3-point shot, and they got on the ball, and he shot an air ball. Those two things happened within 6 seconds.
Try to blame it on the Kings.
It was fantastic. Yeah. Right. There was a Kings game earlier.
Yeah.
Turns out he's only human once in a great while.
Stupid Steph.
All right. Let's get into this Uber driver. What city is this in, Dave? Do you
Sacramento.
Know? Sacramento. He's on a big 8-lane highway, and he's got a very drunk passenger who tries to wrestle the steering wheel away from him. Thank God this is on video. Thank God they didn't crash. The Uber driver stays incredibly calm during this entire encounter, but listen to how it unfolded.
Hello, your brother. Hello, brother.
We're not going to die, man, but you got to let go.
No, I love you, brother. I love you, brother.
You got to let go, man.
I love you, brother. Just, brother.
He just keeps saying, I love you, brother, but he won't let go of the steering wheel. The passenger.
How does the Uber driver not, like, elbow the guy in the face or something or try to push him out of the car or something?
Well, you can't. You're in the middle of a highway.
Yeah, but don't you pull over?
Try.
He does. I mean, he does eventually pull over, yeah.
Yeah, this was Dax Castro up in Sacramento, and he wrote on his Facebook page that he wishes that he would have just puked in his car because then he would have got $250 from Uber. Instead, instead, he just had to kick him out. And, you know, instead of almost dying, he gets nothing.
Mm. Well, wow. It was remarkable that he was able to retain control of that car.
How about less I love you, brother, and more let go of the steering wheel?
Yeah. Exactly. Speaking of driving, there's a public service announcement that is very funny that has been released. Who's this guy on the video, Dave?
This is a Brian Moot. He is a host of our sister station, Amp Radio.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And he spent a lot of time in Atlanta, and he anticipates the crowds that are going to be there for the Super Bowl next weekend. And he's got some advice if you're planning on visiting Atlanta for the game.
Hi.
My name is Brian Moot, and I'm here to give you guys all a public service announcement. For those folks, those football fans traveling from around the country, around the world, to the city of Atlanta, we hope you have a great time. But do not drive. I'm not kidding you. We don't need any more cars on these Atlanta roads. Atlanta traffic is a war. Don't rent a car. When you get to the airport, you get on the MARTA. You get an Uber. You ride a bird scooter. You hitchhike. Some of you are saying, did Brian just really pitch us on hitchhiking? Did Brian just pitch us on something that could be so unsafe we get murdered? Yes. I don't care if so many of you are walking to things you need to do that it looks like you're filming The Walking Dead. Atlanta traffic is so bad, it will age you. You will get in traffic looking one way, get out looking another. You might lose people along the way. It's like the Oregon Trail. Everything just comes bottlenecking in to one place. 9 freeways into one. Whoa. It's a really bad design. One year, a freeway just burst into flames. Burst into flames. Cement was on fire. And you know what people said?
Huh?
Atlanta traffic, man.
Atlanta traffic, man. Okay.
Now let me just ask you this though. I get why a city can be overstressed when you have a huge event like the Super Bowl with so many people coming from all over, but you can't scare people from Southern California away from traffic, right?
I don't know, because it doesn't take much for me to not want to sit in traffic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I saw that and I was like, oh, I didn't realize Atlanta traffic was so bad. I don't want to be sitting in a car there. Maybe because you do it here so much.
Well, then let's try hitchhiking.
Exactly.
Let's do it, guys.
That's our plan. We're going to hitchhike.
Our plan is not to rent a car then, right?
No.
Our plan is to Uber it up.
Our bird scooter. Yeah.
Bird scooter. You see us bird scootering to the show.
That's so great.
Let's do it.
And finally, this video from NFL Films got a lot of attention this week because I think most people don't realize that this job exists. Now, it's not a full-time job. It's called the Get Back Coach. And this is somebody who generally is on the coaching staff, works in like strength and conditioning or something like that with the players. But his job during the game is to keep not only the head coach, but also all the coaches and all the players and all the personnel from the team off the playing field.
Yeah.
A, you can get a penalty if somebody's on the field that's not supposed to be, too many players on the field or whatever. And B, it's very easy to get run over by players or refs that are running up and down the sidelines. And I guess you're so focused on the action on the field that you don't realize you step over that line. So there's somebody whose job it is, in this case, to pull back the coach to make sure he doesn't get in the field of play. And let's meet that person now.
I was probably the most difficult one to deal with when I was on the field, because you're always trying to get closer to the action.
Coaches, whether it's, you know, a position coach or even Sean McVay now, I literally have to spend most of my time while the offense is on the field standing right behind Sean and ripping him out of the way when the official's about to run into him, just so we don't get a penalty. There is an art to it. It is kind of like a dance. Maybe tango, like a sidestep into the path of the official and then remove back.
I got to say, some of the video is really tender.
Yeah, right?
It's very really loving lovely. Coach. It's very lovely to watch.
So, Allie, would you enjoy a job where every 100% you walk up behind Coach McVay and just wrap him in your arms and just carry him away?
But then you have to let him go when he gets back behind the line.
That's not in the article I read.
All right. Yeah. So there's something to aspire to if you want to be a get-back coach. Apparently, that is a job. I will never not see that on the sidelines now watching football, now that I know it exists. You can find all these videos and so much more right now online at KROQ.com or KevinAndBean.com. It's this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and
It was a surprise to most of us a few days ago when we found out that there was a new band called Simple Creatures. Alex from All Time Low and our old friend Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 have a new band together. Mark.
Hi.
How could you hide this from us?
Well,
I thought we were friends.
We just didn't talk about it.
Get up a little closer to the mic.
We were in a studio in the Valley, and it's easy to go unnoticed when you're in a studio in the Valley. And we've been working on this for like 7 or 8 months, and we have 2 EPs worth of music to put out.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, no. We've been in there.
So the obvious question that you're going to answer today and every day for the next 1,000 is why? It's not like you don't have an outlet for your music.
I know. Alex and I have been friends for a long time. We've talked about writing songs together. We tried to write a song together for All Time Low, and we talked about writing songs for other people. And then I I started this project, and I was going to invite a bunch of my friends to come and be part of it and have, like, you know, guests, all the people that you run into at shows, and you're like, oh, we should work together sometime. Let's get in the studio.
Because it never happened.
You are the modern-day Santana.
I am?
Yeah, that's what I think.
By the way, total sidebar. One time I rode up in an elevator randomly with Santana in the thing, and he had his shirt unbuttoned all the way to his belly button and had this literal globe. It had an eagle with his claws, his talons around an orb in the middle of it. It was the raddest thing ever. So you said, saying that I'm Santana is a huge compliment to me.
Would you say smooth?
Yeah, he was very smooth.
Dear God.
Yeah.
File.
And so Alex and I got in the studio and we wrote a song and I really liked it. And then he came back the next day and wrote another song. And it just kind of organically happened that me and Alex liked writing songs together. And
wasn't he in a band when he was much younger that covered you guys?
Yeah, it's called All Time Low.
Yeah. No, for real. You're making it.
Oh, no. I was thinking it was before.
No. All Time Low was a Blink-182 cover band. So much so that both Alex and Jack have Blink tattoos, correct?
And so does Ryan.
And so does Ryan.
Yeah, everybody in their band has Blink tattoos.
So imagine now he's in a band
right.
with Mark.
That's amazing.
But I have to say this. The cool thing is that Alex totally stands up for himself in the studio. I thought, you know, he is a huge Blink fan, but he is a great musician and a great songwriter, and he would totally put up his hand and say, that's not a good idea. Let's do it this way, and push back. So there's a really good creative chemistry.
Had you already started talking to other people?
No.
He was the first one, and then you were considering in your mind adding all those other people that you say we should work together with.
Yes.
Yeah, and just never happened. That's
it
good.
Just didn't
that's
happen
good,
that
because
way.
It's good you didn't have to call back. And go, you know what? Oh, never mind.
Hey, you know what? I'm busy.
hey, Jacoby from Papa Roach. Gonna have to cancel our session.
Now, Jensen told us earlier, and it's okay now that he can mention this, that he has been sitting on this. He's known about this for months and months and months.
Big
as
secret.
Well.
Yeah.
How do you and Jensen know each other? And Jensen, how do you know Alex so well?
I think I originally met Mark through Pete Wentz, no?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Pete and I were close and ran a clothing line together called Clandestine Industries back in an old life of mine. And then I think the best part about being friends with Pete Wentz is that he has great friends. He's a very good friend curator. And then from there, I met Alex as well through the same way. And those kids are great. I think I've known them since they're like teenage years.
Probably.
They didn't even go to their senior prom because they just started touring.
Nice.
They got
that's
signed.
Pretty great.
And so we have become close friends, and this whole group of Alex and Jack and the guys from All Time Low and Brendan Urie and everyone sort of are all a little group of friends, and this is a secret that we've all been keeping.
Yeah.
But we've been really excited because they're both two of the most talented friends we have, and they're like-minded. And Mark is one of those guys that every time All Time Low songs came out, he would text me and be like, this song's really good, just as a friend text, you
right.
know, and I think they've always been trying to get something together.
Yes, we've been flirting for a long time.
Sure,
that's how it works.
Admiration society.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But now, I can but readily speak about it.
It'll never see the light of day, but Jensen and me and Pete Wentz worked on an idea for a children's animated show that we pitched to Disney. We pitched to a bunch of different studios, and the idea was it was a bunch of fish living, and they were in a band, and Jensen did this amazing rap where the villain of the show is a sushi chef. And he, seriously, this is all true. And
is
he did
there
the most,
video of this? Because it
there's
sounds
no video, but I have the songs on my computer somewhere, and they're genius songs, and he did a great rap as a sushi chef villain.
Yeah.
Which it's
you
amazing.
Don't hear every day.
I don't know if it's culturally strong these days.
Why?
I might be doing a voice.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
I didn't think you were.
I'd have to listen back with 2019 ears.
Oh, okay.
This got weird.
The sushi chef may have been a stereotypical sushi chef.
Oh, I didn't take it like that.
Thank you.
Okay,
for
let me flip the script. Right. Oh, my God, you guys.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about Jensen.
Right? There's a very racist song.
What a racist dude.
Mark, were you one of the fish who was to be the victim?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
And in fact, I wrote an amazing rad theme song for it.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's like the Muppet theme song, but for this show.
So you guys pitched it around, and were you just dumbfounded that everyone didn't jump at it?
Well, no, because
it sounds like you both loved it.
It's a weird story.
It sounds, honestly, it sounds like we went in 2 weeks after the people that did, what, Bubble Buddies, or I don't know what it was called.
I think every time we walked
Bubble
in.
Bubble Guppies.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
Yeah. At every, Jesus, man.
The fact that he knows that.
Every time, basically, we would go in, we'd go, it's a group of fish, and you just see their faces be like, oh. Like, I think some big deal just went through with a group of fish.
It's about a sponge that lives at the bottom of the ocean.
There's a guy named Ren and a guy named Stimmy. They are best friends. Yeah. Didn't work.
There must be thousands of projects out there that we'll never hear about that just didn't get far enough along to get to the public that are hilarious.
Do you remember who almost was another fish?
Ashley Simpson?
Ashley Simpson was a fish.
Right.
She sings on it.
Yeah.
Pharrell Williams thought about
for
being
real?
A fish. Yeah.
Oh,
this would have been a real cartoon.
Pharrell. Oh, yeah, Pharrell.
No, Pharrell.
Not for real.
For real. It was going to be like a great thing.
Yeah.
We blew it.
By the way, it was a great idea, great concept, great songs, but it was literally 2 weeks after somebody else had the exact same idea.
And the racist sushi chef. Right. Too bad for that. Yeah.
Well, I don't think so. I don't remember. Maybe you know better because it was you voicing it, but I never took it as that. It was more of a villain, like evil voice, not like you were trying to do a cultural stereotype.
No, I could see it in his eyes immediately when you said it. You could see it in Jensen's eyes like, oh, no.
It's very sweet to say, but I think I was wearing a kimono when I recorded it.
Or Mark thinks all Asians are villains. That could be the other option here.
I do not think that.
Mark Hoppus is our guest here on the Kevin Beach Show. Where's Alex right now, by the way? I feel kind of bad that we're talking about him and he's not here.
Alex is actually in the studio right now writing all-time low songs. You know, when we announced this, of course, people are like, what's up with the other bands? What's up with Blink? What's up with all-time low? And literally, I was in the studio when I was reading that with Blink-182 yesterday. So, I mean, obviously, we're not going to quit our day jobs by any means. This is something
both bands are fine. This is just a separate thing.
Yeah. We're going to weave this around off time and downtime and in between album cycles, and it's not meant to do anything other than have a lot of fun and be creative and go out and play shows.
We're going
to
play the song Drug in a second. Tell us about that.
This song is about...
And how do you pick a first... I didn't let you answer that one. Go ahead.
No, Drug is about...
And what's up with the name, Simple Creatures?
Also, the fish show sounded good.
It did. It was a great idea. Yeah.
Sorry.
Drug is about being killed and consumed by all the things that you love, be it love or alcohol or addiction or money or greed. It's about the things that... that destroy you.
And how do you pick a first song as a new band? Is it difficult? Is what we want to put out first.
Well, this was the song that whenever we played for friends or anybody, this is the first song that we played. And so we're like, well, if this is the first song we played for everybody else, there's probably a reason for it. And I think it's a good introduction to what the band is. It's kind of ratty, poppy, a little bit dancey, a little bit weird.
Okay.
So, yeah.
The band is Simple Creatures. Mark Hoppus is here, and we're going to play Drug when we return and talk more with Mark right after this on K-Rock. The band is called Simple Creatures. Here's their first single. It's Drug on K-Rock.
I got a feeling that the weather's going to change, so I'm turning off my brain for a minute. A premonition that tonight is getting strange, so I'm turning up the sound when you get in. 'Cause I can't watch you dig your own grave today. And I can't hear a word that you say, a word that you say. You got me going right. On a bottle full of pills, and I stumbled off the rails for a summer. I bought a filthy car with a $1,000 bill just to watch it rust away in the gutter. 'Cause I can't watch you dig your own grave today. So I'll just disappear with no trace from here with no trace. You got me going round in circles in my head. The signals that we send. Wear me out.
good is that?
So good. Real good.
I like it, you guys.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thanks. Simple Creatures is the name of the band. That is called Drug, and that is Alex Gaskarth from All Time Low, and our friend Mark Hoppus in studio with us right now from Blink 182. You said you have, what do you have, like eight songs, something like that?
No, we have 12 songs totally done. We're going to release it in two EPs, one at the end of March, and then depending on Blink's release schedule and All Time Low's release schedule, we'll release the second one so it doesn't interfere with either of those.
That's fantastic.
Thanks.
How many bands have you been in total,
Five.
Mark?
Five. I'm just guessing, but that feels right.
Were you in a band before Blink 182?
I was in a, yes. Well, yes, I was in a band and we covered like Bad Religion and I think we had one original song. We covered The Cure. We covered just all the bands we listened to.
What were you called?
We were called Of All Things.
So you're playing cover songs, then mm-hmm. you throw in your original. Did everyone roll their eyes? Like, were you afraid of
I don't think we ever actually played the original live. I don't even know that it had words. I mean, yeah. It was just a garage band with friends.
So Of All Things, then Blink, then...
Yep. Plus 44.
Plus 44. Boxcar Racer.
That was not me. That was...
Oh, you weren't in that one.
I was not in that
okay,
one.
Okay, you were in Plus 44. What else were you in?
P.O.D.
And then now Simple Creatures. I really have just been in Blink my whole life.
I mean, it's a decent band to be in if you're going to be in a band.
Yeah, totally. I enjoy it. It's something that I enjoy. And even, by the way, we formed that band in 1992.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is crazy.
So much of your life has been Blink. I mean, you met your wife kind of during work.
Everything about my life is Blink 182 from the beginning to the end.
And I see every once in a while I'll see a photo of you visiting us in the Burbank studios back in 94 or something like that, 95. Mm-hmm. And we were so young. All of us were so young. But Travis looked like he was 11.
Yeah. We I remember going very, very early to play your guys' show and playing Damn It in probably 97.
Yeah, I remember that too.
And putting the amps out in the hallway.
It was the worst.
It was, and just, it sounded terrible. Like, it was way too early for me to be singing at all.
It didn't sound as bad as, who was it, Bean Blur?
Yeah, oh, really? Somebody, Blur played in the actual studio.
They brought in enough equipment to play the Rose Bowl.
Oh, got it.
And you know that tiny little space. It was floor-to-ceiling amps, and it was just a wall of noise, and you couldn't understand a word they were doing.
That's hot.
I'm still shaking from it. Hey, we want to get back to Simple Creatures, and we also did find the theme song for the animated show that you guys pitched that we're going to play in a minute. But I wanted to ask, so you mentioned you were in the studio yesterday with Blake. How are Travis's hands right now?
They're good. He's playing drums.
Good.
Yeah, he's hitting things hard like he always does. Mm-hmm. Everyone's in a great mood in the studio. We are excited about the next record that we're working on, and it's a departure from what California was in a really exciting way.
And I saw that there was a text or a tweet regarding you guys working with the Chainsmokers.
We did, yeah. We went into the Chainsmokers studio and worked on a song with them.
It was a tweet from the Chainsmokers saying we can die now.
Yeah.
that's pretty high praise.
Actually, the song is turning out really cool. I'm really happy with the way that it's sounding. It's weird because you go into these situations with people, and it's kind of like going on a blind date.
Uh-huh.
You might see them here and there, but then you actually get in a studio with them, and they're really cool and really easy to work with and talented guys. So, yeah.
Blink 182 is also headlining the Back to the Beach Festival. We mm-hmm. had Feldy in early in the week to announce this. April 27th, you guys are going to be playing. That is a great lineup this year, both nights, by the way. That is going to be so fun.
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait to play in just board shorts.
Couldn't you do that at all times?
Probably.
Yeah. And tickets are on sale still right now at backtothebeachfest.com. All right, question coming in. Ask Mark if he is doing another residency at the Palms, and why does he want to be like Cardi B?
First of all, who doesn't want to be like Cardi B?
True.
The residency at the Palms is over. It was awesome. It turned out way better than I think we even had hoped that it would, and it was a good time.
How many shows did you end up doing in Las Vegas?
I think 16.
That's a residency.
Yeah.
We've been having some inner talk about what a residency is and what it isn't. Like, is four shows a residency?
I don't think four shows would constitute a residency. Mm-hmm. We did 8 weekends, 2 shows each weekend, going back each time. I feel like that is a residency.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Okay. It's been
anything less than what we did is not a residency.
We are the bar.
Right.
Okay.
That's
standard.
It.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's set up again for folks who may have missed the beginning. How did we even get on this topic about this TV show?
I think someone said, how do you know Jensen?
I said,
I knew him through Pete Wentz. And I don't know, now 15 years ago, 13 years ago, mm-hmm. Mark, myself, Pete Wentz, Ashley Simpson, I believe, a friend Justin Siegel.
Yep.
And I also believe
Romanelli.
Romanelli, a great designer in LA. And I also believe maybe Jack and Alex came in and helped a little too.
Yes.
From All Time Low. We pitched a cartoon about a school of fish.
Played in a band.
Played in a band. There was a starfish. There was all sorts of different water life. All a band that toured around, like Josie and the Pussycats. And they were always avoiding the villain, which was a sushi chef. But this was the theme song. Mark went away and said, I'm going to write a theme song. This is what he wrote. This is how genius he is.
Has this ever been played on the radio
before,
Mark?
It's never been played.
Never played for anybody.
Anyone, yeah.
Anyone.
No.
All right, well, this is world exclusive then. Yeah. What's this, what's this called?
It's called Bronze Blue, was the name of the band. And this is kind of the opening theme song where it introduces the character and the premise of the song, which the whole show is about the environment and saving the ocean. Yeah. And they go around and they play songs and they try and raise awareness for cleaning up our water.
Yes.
We rolling? This journey started when we were small. Waves crashing, that's right, y'all. Bronze Blue, about to teach you something new. Shredding taco on a few guitars. Barrel Bob is a drumming star. Don't ask about Snippy Junipero. LG gonna pound those keys. G Doy tripping through the seas. Goldfish with the freshest voice around. Bronze Blue, let's all begin. Bronze Blue, we're rocking and rolling. Bronze Blue, we're the touring ocean. Great blue sea, bronze blue, one that won't be seen. Bronze blue, what a concert pier near you.
How can anyone say no to that?
I mean, he wrote like a hit. He literally wrote a hit song for a cartoon.
Never heard, seen the light of day.
Yeah, he brought it back to the studio and he goes, do you guys like it? And we just looked at him like, yeah. Can I put it on my iPhone?
That's awesome,
thank
Mark.
You.
Yeah. That's very fun. All right, before we run out of time, Simple Creatures, just one song available right now?
One song right now on all streaming and downloading services, and then the rest of the EP comes out in March.
That's fantastic.
How about touring?
Touring, we are going to get into a rehearsal space and figure out how we're going to perform it live. And we are, the idea is not to go and play traditional small venues, but do like
The Rose Bowl.
Wembley. No, do like museums or warehouse spaces or parties or events or things like that. And not just go and start like we're going to play in a small club.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Very excited.
It's always great to see you. You know we love you.
Likewise.
And before we let you go, we're going to do 60 Seconds with Mark Hoppus. Oh. Kevin is going to be firing questions at you. All you do is just the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
All
right. 60 Seconds with Mark Hoppus.
Okay.
What was your first job?
Made pizza at Little Caesars.
Red Vines or Twizzlers?
I'll go Red Vines.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
No way.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
No, sir.
Have you ever thought about gunning it at a stop sign when somebody walks right in front of you in the crosswalk?
Yes, every day.
If you could only bring one album to a deserted island, what would it be?
The White Album.
Pineapple on pizza, yes?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good enough. What's the best trophy you ever won?
The Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Award. It's like it's so cool. It's like this little orange blimp, and it's like a kaleidoscope.
What would people be surprised to find out about you?
That I'm literate.
That would be a surprise.
Yeah.
What advice would you give your teenage self?
Don't wear lipstick to school.
That's not wrong.
Do you collect anything?
Not anymore.
Do you have any hidden talents? I didn't have time to get to that.
I can say the alphabet backwards.
Go.
ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKJIHGFEDCBA.
Wow.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
I wouldn't even be able to know if you did it wrong.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
And Mark Hoppus is a good dude, you guys.
Oh, he's the best. Yes. Also, I want to go on record. We listened to the song of me doing the sushi chef. Not a racist voice.
Okay, good.
Proud to say.
Just as racist as you remembered it. Right. Still a little bit racist.
I did oversell it so that when we heard it, it didn't sound racist.
The name of the band is Simple Creatures. The song is called Drug, and you should listen to it today because it's great.
Listen to this, you guys. I feel like we've already had a full show, but we're going to talk to Stryker right after the top of the hour. He has gotten himself in some sort of a free throw challenge bet where he and his co-host in the afternoon, Klein, here on K-Rock, have a dispute about how many free throws out of 100 Stryker can hit. So we'll find out what's involved in that. And then Monkey is coming in, guitarist for the band Korn. A lot of stuff going on with Korn and
The band is part of a new documentary called Mind Over Matter that is like nothing you have ever seen before. So we'll tell you about all of that coming up in the next hour on K-Rock. First, Allie, you're here with one of our favorite What's Happenings of the Week.
It is one of our favorites because at this time every Friday, we talk about our That's My Jam playlist. It's basically a playlist where everybody that's involved with the Kevin and Bean Show puts in a new song every week, just a song that they're digging at the moment or maybe an older song that they forgot about. But you can find it posted at Kevin and Bean on all of our social medias. Just go to at Kevin and Bean, click on the That's My Jam playlist, press follow, and you're going to have brand new music in your ears every single week from the members of the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, you are up first.
My choice is the band Bring Me the Horizon from the UK. Mm-hmm. Known mostly for metal, but they've added in some pop and some dance and electronica music and sort of made it a little bit different. They have a new album out today called Ammo, and the song that I'm featuring is, it warns people of the dangers of getting into a cult.
Okay.
Which is an odd choice for me, but it's called it's called Mantra.
Close your eyes and listen carefully. Imagine you're stood on a beach. What a journey like we met your feet. But now you're sinking, what were you thinking? That's all the time we have this week. Before the truth will set you free.
Nice.
Interesting. Kevin's on the one hand saying, oh, don't be in cults. And the other hand, he's like, Zero Club, baby, Zero Club.
Do you think they're working together? Him and Bring Me to the Horizon?
I wouldn't be surprised.
That'd be amazing. All right, Bean, you're up next.
I have another British band this time around who I love so much. They're called Foals. They had a big last couple of years. We played Mountain at My Gates here on K-Rock. Inhaler was another song we played. What Went Down? They got so many great songs. They are headlining the Saturday night of Coachella this year, in fact. They just announced they have two brand new albums coming out this year, and the first single is called Exits. This is new from Foals. Love that band. So excited they're back.
Nice. Jensen, you brought a tender tune.
Yeah, nothing's better than a sad Ryan Adams. Mm-hmm. I like it very much. He is telling people that he has three records coming out in 2019, which is a big deal.
He's three.
Three.
Wow.
He took a little bit of time off, so this is a lot of work, I assume. The album is called Big Colors. It comes out in March, but today he released a brand new song called F the Rain. It features a great guitar solo from John Mayer. And again, I just like it when it's sad. That's my Ryan Adams motto. This is F the Rain.
I want to lie down here in your arms and just die. Can I live long enough to be alive with the bleached out heart and a broken smile?
That sounds awesome.
Damn, Ryan, what are you going through?
Right?
I think a lot.
Yeah.
But that album actually has Bob Mould on it, Don Was. It's going to be a very musical record. So.
Was not cool. Was?
Mm-hmm. Walk the Dinosaur, baby.
Love it that song. So much. Mm-hmm. Well, my band is a local Orange County band that is really fun to see live. They've got a great lead singer named Greta, an amazing guitarist, mm-hmm. who also, I believe, is her husband, Robin. Very questionable bass player. She sucks. That bass player is, of course, our own Chip that rocks the board here at K-Rock. But here's the thing. Brand new song from Well Hung Heart called You're Scared.
Chip, you've been in the band for how long?
3 years.
3 years. And every other band you've split up, correct?
After 18 months. So okay. Just smooth sailing.
This is going real good.
Yeah.
Okay, this
That's
might
a good
stick
song,
you guys.
Chip. That is a good
Thanks.
Song.
It's a real good song.
It's literally my jam.
It's literally your jam. See what you did. Can I pick a new song? Can
nope.
I?
Too late.
So if you go to at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, you can just click on the That's My Jam playlist. It's about 6 hours long. Just press shuffle. You're going to get rad songs from us every single day of the week. Happy birthday to Alicia Keys. That's the only birthday today ever. Nobody else cares for anything else because
Correct.
Hippos are BS. That's what's happening.
Less than 1 hour from right now, we've got your tickets to see Muse at the Forum March 11th with special guest Walk the Moon. And you're qualified for a trip to see the band in Singapore at the Formula One Singapore Grand Prix, including hotel and round-trip airfare. It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 Destination Number 2. That's right around 9 a.m. About the same time, we'll be asking you to text in your songs for Kevin and Bean's Keep It 100. You pick any song you've ever heard on K-Rock, and we'll play it for you if we've still got it. That's all coming up on K-Rock.
Hey, Ted Stryker.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
Ted, long time no talk.
I know. I'm so excited to be on right now, and it has nothing to do with ducks or lizards or seeing weird things. I'm just on right now. This is incredible.
You kind of dropped the ball in 2019 on leaving us sexy Afro line messages. What happened there?
Well, I'm now doing way more of a show in the afternoon, and all my energy is going to that. And every time I'm seeing a duck or maybe the moon is full and the sparkles going off a car perfectly into my eye, I'm using it in the afternoon, but I do have some things I'd love to call the Afro line about.
Anytime.
So. Yeah. Okay. Call You're always time. Welcome.
Thank
All right.
You.
This
Thank
afternoon
you.
Show, I guess you and your partner Klein here on K-Rock, you guys got into a conversation about NBA free throwing, and then it went off the rails from there. Tell us what happened.
That's exactly right. So I am a huge Lakers fan, and there is a stretch of games there with LeBron and Rondo out. LeBron is still out. Rondo is back. But I was watching the younger guys on the team who are so fun to watch. But their free throw shooting was just really bad for a stretch of games, and they would have won a few of those games. And then I was kind of sad that Luke Walton was catching so much heat, and I said on the air, if these guys can make some free throws, they'd win a couple of these games. And this is where I am even more of an idiot than normal. I said that I could easily walk out there right now, and this was at the very end of our show. I could walk out on a court right now and make 60 out of 100.
Oh.
And that was the end of the show. Well, the next day I went on the air, and I'm like, look, I said something on the air that was idiotic, and Klein said you couldn't make 30. Klein is a big-time gambler, by the way. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
Yeah,
but
total degenerate.
All good.
Yeah.
Yes, he is just, he's on his phone. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm betting the over-under in Harvard-Yale basketball. What? So he loves to gamble. I love game sports challenges. And he's like, you couldn't make 30. I'm like, I bet I could do 50.
Why would you up him? Why wouldn't you just say, I could do 30, I'll do it?
Kevin.
Why would you go up from there? You're a terrible negotiator.
Best question you've ever asked on Kevin Bean Show right there.
Stryker, we looked before you came on. Lonzo Ball right now is 40%, which means you would be better than Lonzo Ball at free throws if you do this.
At free throws, right. But I want to make it clear, these guys are professionals. I'm a radio nerd.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen, but
Stryker,
what's worrying me is the stamina on this thing.
Yeah, 100 in a row is tough.
Stryker, I am so with you on free throws in the NBA. It drives me crazy. Even when the Lakers were winning championships with Shaq, they would do hack-a-Shaq at the end of the game. And every single time I was like, does that not embarrass him that he can't make a goddamn free throw? It made me so mad. Because that's the only part of the NBA that kids can do.
That's right.
As
There's
well
no
or
one
better.
Standing around you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Stryker, what's the bet with you and Klein? You settled on 50. You can make 50 out of 100. Are you just playing
right.
for pride, or is there more than that on the line?
Oh, there's pride involved, Bean, but have you heard of the L.A. Party Goats? We actually had them on the show. It's like a big thing now.
Yep.
If I do not get it, I am going to do a sexy, in quotes, calendar photo shoot with the L.A. Party Goats.
Which are just goats that come to any party, basically, real goats.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Exactly right, Jensen.
Right.
Okay.
Sexy,
I don't like this
a
combination.
Sexy shoot with goats.
I love this combination.
Me.
This
don't
is going to be
like
great.
This.
What happens if you hit them? Like, what happens
if I hit him? We don't even have a bet for him because he's so positive.
You're so bad at
you're
it.
You're the worst. You're the worst ever. First of all, you're jacking up the number to 50. Now you don't even have an answer if you win.
I hope you're better at free throws than gambling.
Clyde has already won.
He's working you, dude.
He is working me, and I feel so. But that's I want to crush him.
Yeah.
So bad on this, and I've received well over 1,000 messages on the socials and the texts and everything, and there are people who have been aggressively mean but with a wink that I'm not going to do this, and I want to crush them as well, and I'd like to know what the Kevin and Bean Morning Show thinks I'm going to do. Jensen?
Well, I'd like to add just a quick question before my prediction. Yeah. How has practice been going?
Okay, well, in the last 10 years, I shot 40 shots 2 days ago.
That's it? That's it?
That's it. That's all I've done.
Okay, out of that 40, how many did you make?
I'm not going to reveal, but my arm and neck are sore.
Oh, no.
From less than half.
Oh, no.
He will not hit the 50. I'm sorry, Stryker. I love you, but no.
It's all right. Allie?
You're not literally doing 100 in a row, right? You're going to, stagger it.
The rules are 5 rounds of 20, and I get a maximum of 2-minute break between each round.
That's 100 in a row.
That's 100 in a row,
yeah,
Stryker.
Yeah.
I feel like Stryker could get into a nice rhythm. Did you carb load last night?
I had a taco and a Lean Cuisine pizza.
Doesn't count. Okay. Stryker, I believe in you because I feel like your positivity is going to actually make that change for you. You can do it.
Mm-hmm. Kevin?
I'm going to say that you know yourself pretty well, Stryker, and you wouldn't make that claim if you didn't honestly believe you could do it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with yes.
Wow.
Oh, my God. You guys are in my will, Allie and Kevin, so far. Okay, boom.
Suck it, Jensen.
First of all, I carb load every night. Okay, good. That's my policy.
Right.
Stryker, I also love you, but do not feel that 2 days ago, tossing 40 balls is enough preparation to get you in a place where you can go 50-50. I could do it. I don't think you're going to be able to do it. I don't think you'll hit half.
All right, we're
going
to have that challenge then.
I'm sorry. Well, let's see how the boy does first. So when is all this? I was going to ask, when's it all taking place and can people watch it?
Well, we are going to, it's taking place this morning at about 10:30 in the morning, but we're filming it, and we will reveal it all at about 4 o'clock this afternoon on the air, and then there'll be a video package that goes along with it, and we'll see if I can do the 50 out of 100, man.
All right. We'll strike away
all. But then here's the thing, though. When you do, there's no payoff.
That's it.
Klein doesn't have to do anything, so you're like, all right, thumbs up, I did it.
I will think of something before that, but you're right. Why is it this a one-sided bet?
I don't know.
All the work and the stress. What the hell is going on here?
Yes,
exactly. We are all pulling for you, Stryker. We'll be listing at 4 o'clock. Good luck to you, my friend.
Just for the record, my over/under is 22.
Oh, shit!
100.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you, Stryker.
What a day. A couple of real-life rock stars in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Monkey from the band Korn right there on K-Rock. And Brandon Mendenhall, guitarist for the Mendenhall Experiment. How are you, Brandon?
Yo. I'm good. Happy to be here.
Good to see both of you guys. By the way, we're playing a Korn song as we got the guys set up. And Monkey, you weren't mad at us for that.
I'm not mad at that, you know.
You said, are you playing this on the air?
I'm registered with BMI.
Okay.
You know? I want you to know.
All right.
And that song got you a boat, so you're good.
Yeah, there you go.
With that. We got a lot of ground to cover here, and it's so fascinating. I want people to stick around and hear this story because it is so inspiring and so fun. I'm trying to figure out a best way to introduce how your paths cross. And I guess we'll start with you, Brandon, because you, at a very early age, got exposed to the band Korn, and it kind of changed your life from the first time you ever heard their song Blind, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I heard Blind, and I was like, who is this band? What is this? And I just got the record and just totally immersed myself in anything I could find, magazines and info, and found out who they were and found relatability between me and them, and it just grew and grew from there.
Let's talk about your struggle as a kid with cerebral palsy. Your hand was pretty much
Paralyzed.
So you couldn't play the guitar, but you really, really, really wanted to play the guitar and be in a band.
Totally. It was my passion, and everybody told me it'd never be possible, and I'm a dude that doesn't take no for an answer, so guitar was the one thing I didn't want to let go of, so I just pushed myself to rehabilitate my hand through just playing the instrument. And then when I read the story about how Monkey cut the tip of his finger off in a magazine.
I'm so glad you said finger.
Sorry.
That may be for another movie. Yeah. Let's let Monkey pick it up there. What happened to your hand?
Yeah, so when I was 13, I cut the end of my finger off, and it sort of drove me to, I had to rehabilitate it in a way, and the doctors kind of, the doctor, who was a reconstructive surgeon, said, what about an instrument? And I said, how about the guitar? I loved the guitar. I loved the sound of the guitar. And so that sort of drove me to pick up a guitar. My dad bought me a guitar. And and so the rest is,
There certainly are instances of people who, Jerry Garcia is probably the most famous one, of a guy who had his, part of his middle finger was missing. And he just figured out a way to kind of use what he had.
Yeah,
and
Iommi, too. Cut a couple of his fingers off, and they put prosthetics on, and that's how he played.
And it sounds like the same for both of you guys, is you just, through passion and hard work, you just managed to use whatever you had available on the guitar. But it seems like, and this is what's so impressive, Brandon, is you worked so hard for so long to be able to play the guitar because you don't have the range of all of your fingers being available to you on the neck of the guitar, right?
Correct. My dexterity is not what a normal guitar player would have. So I tune my guitars to like a drop C, and then I play these flat chords all the way up and down my neck and focus on songwriting, and I'm blessed to have an amazing band behind me to just kind of take my rough skeletons and build them into amazing tunes.
Is it getting any better? Or will it ever get better?
It's getting better.
It is.
Like, I find it, the more I play, the more I push myself, it's a slow build.
Yeah.
The thing that impressed me so much, not only the healing power of music, literally and figuratively, it improved your confidence. It improved your coordination. It improved your speech. All of this, the way you pushed yourself because you love the guitar so much, shaped your life.
Exactly. I want to do this on a world level like K-Rock, so to be able to do that and be here, you've got to be able to do all of it. You've got to do the interviews, you've got to be able to speak confidently, carry yourself well, look good, and you have to be able to play and write really good songs.
And that was cool too, like it's a very specific example in the film, obviously, what he's overcoming, but also you didn't just pick up the guitar. You worked at Westlake Studios out here in Los Angeles. You like studied the craft, went to school for it, got a loan from your grandparents for a guitar. Like, you went through the struggles that all musicians do and almost double, triple because of your handicap.
And full self, too.
Full self.
I love it. I love music. I love being a part of it. I love being in the studio, and I want to do it on the national level. So,
was there any part of you that died a little bit when doctors would tell you you can't, and your grandpa and different... It has to hurt for a while, at least.
Oh, it hurt.
Yeah.
Indefinitely it hurt. But that was the fuel for me to kind of turn it around and push me to do this. And that's just the underlying theme of my life, is taking a negative and making it a positive, just like the guys in Korn do with Jonathan and all the stuff that he's been through, Monkey with the finger. And I think didn't you have an instructor that told you about Tony Iommi?
Yeah, Tony Iommi also had a prosthetic.
Push you over the...
Yeah, it made me feel like, this is possible. Mm-hmm. There's so many other people that have, disabilities, and that, they can overcome some of the things, and it's just, it's encouraging. And his story, as it relates to this, is so inspiring. Just... when you see the film, him growing up from, getting teased and bullied, and like a lot of us did, guys in my band, myself.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to who Korn is, because he felt such a connection. And Korn speaks to people that maybe feel like an outsider, feel like they have no place.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that got you recognized by the guys at Korn your tattoos on your back, mm-hmm. right?
Oh yeah, we should mention that, Brandon. What do you have on your back?
We need to take a break.
You're the bad man.
We're talking.
We need to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the tattoos and you two.
Let me hit this before the break. We're talking to Monkey from Quorum. We're talking to Brandon Mendenhall from his band, The Mendenhall Experiment. The movie we're referring to is called Mind Over Matter. It is available digitally and on DVD today. When we come back, we'll tell you more about the movie and also give you a chance to go to the red carpet event that's happening Monday in Hollywood with these guys as well. So more in a moment right after this on K-Rock. We are talking about the film Mind Over Matter, available digitally and on DVD today. James Monkey Schaefer, guitarist for the band Korn, in our studio, along with Brandon Mendenhall from the Mendenhall Experiment. We talked about how Brandon first became aware of Korn. Monkey, when did you first become aware of Brandon?
I think we were just talking about this. I thought it was in Ohio that I met you, but you were saying that it's in Peoria, Illinois.
Yeah, it was Peoria. I showed up super early because I wanted to meet the dudes. I've got this crazy Korn tattoo on my back. It's like a spray paint mural with monkey on my right shoulder and head on my left, so like how they would be on stage with the Korn logo in the middle and their name.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Now, let me just ask you a question because there are millions of fans out there that want to meet somebody in a band. So you would just go super early, stay super late? Is that the key to it?
Well, that's what I thought the key was. And just so happened they saw me from a window of their bus and sent one of their techs out to come find me. Threw me in a room with them, and I was completely starstruck.
Oh my God.
Couldn't even talk.
So, Monkey, tell me what's going through your mind, and I'm sure you've had this happen many times over the years when you see crazy Korn tattoos. Do you think, oh, this is such an honor, or do you think, this guy is a weirdo?
At first, I used to think they're really weird. And then I thought, you know, the music's starting to resonate with people. People are understanding the message and where we come from and who we are as people. And it started maybe into the third year when the band was on tour and stuff. Like, these people, like, this music is becoming bigger than us.
Yeah.
That seems like it was a surprise to you.
It was. It was. And then now, even still, when I see, you know, people with tattoos, I'm like, that's really cool, you know?
Yeah, it's inspiring.
It is
Monkey,
inspiring.
Monkey, who was that for you when you were coming up? Like, who was the rock star that you idolized enough that you might have gotten a tattoo of?
I might have gotten a tattoo of Steve Vai, mm-hmm. or like, because he was such a big inspiration for me.
He's a guitar god.
He's just, like, he can make any emotion come through the guitar, and that is
You become friends with him?
We see each other, do charity events and some mm-hmm. such things like that together. And
Steve Vai played a huge part in this film, and didn't even know it, probably, right, with the guitar?
Yeah, the guitar I gave to Monkey was like the old Ibanez Universe, but the ones they had were all beat up, and I had one that was pretty mint, and Steve signed it for me, but I always felt like it was better in the hands of Monkey, and when he didn't give up on the band when Brian left, I wanted to give it to him as a thank you for, like, overcoming and continuing my favorite band.
And you played that on tour?
Yeah, I played that on tour every night because it was so inspiring that he's giving me a guitar that was signed by Steve, one of my all-time favorite guitar players. And
then it came full circle.
Yeah.
Because
he gave it back to me.
Yeah. Amazing.
That's awesome.
Or gave it to me.
Yeah. Brandon, I have two things I want to talk to you about because I know we're going to run out of time fast. One is, let's talk about your band for a little bit because you had a little bit of trouble because, like all new bands, there's so many hoops you have to jump through to try to make it in Los Angeles, play in the Strip and everything like that. You had members come and go, but you ended up with a great group of guys. And your band is doing really, really well right now, the Mendenhall Experiment, right? You play a lot around town still?
Yeah, we played last night. We played the 5-Star Bar downtown L.A.
That's fantastic. And you got obviously you signed a label deal 6 years from the day of your very first concert, which is amazing.
Unreal.
And I asked if we could pull a clip because you're up on all the streaming services. I thought it might be fun to hear a little bit of the Mendenhall Experiment here on K-Rock. And I think this is a little bit of the song called Seize the Day. What do you want to tell us about it, Brandon?
Seize the Day is like, you know, it's a single, but it's also kind of a mantra for us. Like, go out there and seize the day. Make every day count, because you never know when it's all going to be over for you.
All right, let's hear a little of that. It's a great song, dude. Mm-hmm. It's a great song. And the other half of my question is, tell me about the work that you do with other people with disabilities. What's that all about?
So I'm on the board of governors for UCPLA, United Cerebral Palsy of Los Angeles, and I'm basically just like an ambassador for people with disabilities. I go out and do as much charity work as I can to inspire and help the youth and anybody with disabilities and anybody that interacts with people with disabilities, trying to end the stigma that I went through growing up. But like, people with disabilities are much more capable than society gives them credit for.
It must be so strange for you to have been made fun of this for your whole life, and now you're on the other side of it, being an inspiration to other people who know what that is.
Yeah, and that was my goal with the whole thing. Take the negative and turn it into a positive.
You know, one of the most interesting parts of the film is when you go to, and your band goes to play with, for like a home for with disabilities, and the way to see everybody interact with
it's incredible.
The music, yeah. And it's so touching. And it shows how it comes full circle.
You can feel the hope in those scenes, too, from people who are seeing him go out there and do something that he's been told he couldn't do.
Right.
You can see the people that are watching and meeting you in the meet and greet after.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon just makes me feel like a loser. I got to be honest. I mean,
you know what I mean, man.
If the shoe fits.
I got a ukulele last year, Brandon, and I'm convinced that I'm going to be a great ukulele player. Haven't had one lesson yet, and I'm looking at what you went through to play the guitar, and I'm doing nothing over here. I feel like a garbage person now.
Just play it. Figure it out.
Just play it, Bean.
Brandon, right. He is saying aloha a lot. So
I am saying
that,
aloha.
Is that nice. A good way to get into the ukulele?
I think
start
so.
Saying aloha.
Before we run out of time, Monkey, tell me what's new with Korn. What's going on with you guys?
We are working. I can't say. I'm not supposed to say, but it's really good.
So you're working.
You're in the studio.
Did I say that? Yeah. Anyways.
You're in the studio.
It's going to be out later this year.
All right.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
Sure.
And it's really good. And it's
and then a tour.
It's in the process.
Maybe after
maybe,
that.
Maybe okay. Tour.
With whatever it is.
Pretty mm-hmm. Tight to the chest.
With right. Other people
really?
Running around.
Okay.
Open mic.
What's the with us?
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, I see what you just
big
did,
announcer.
Brandon.
What's nice. The event Monday night, Monkey? You're going to be there at the exclusive VIP LA red carpet premiere of Mind Over Matter in Beverly Hills.
That's right. We're going to show the film to some close friends and celebrate Brandon's success in all of this and show people his courage. And we're really proud of him.
Okay. Let's give away some tickets to that right now. If this sounds great, you'll love the movie. 1-800-520-1067. You can be there. You can meet the guys Monday night. If you want to go, call now. Callers 20 through 24. You'll see Mind Over Matter for everybody else. It's available digitally and on DVD today. And like I said, when you sat down, we've all seen the movie and we all give it all the thumbs up. So
it's so great. Inspirational.
It really is.
So good. Yeah.
Check this out, you guys. You're really going to love it. Monkey, I know we'll see you again. Brandon, I hope we see you again as well. And congratulations. Continued success with the Mendenhall Experiment.
Thank you.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bean.
It's time for Keep It 100. You guys ready?
One second.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Well, for now, it's keep it 100.
Okay. All right.
1-800-520-1067. You text us right now any K-Rock song, past or present, you've ever heard or loved. If we still have it, we'll play it for you. You have pretty good taste, as is evidenced by this montage of recent picks.
California. Dementia, you're connecting. The writing's on the wall.
1-800-520-1067. You text it. We'll play it. Keep it 100 coming up right after the top of the hour on K-Rock. And stand by to win your tickets to see Muse in Singapore as well. All right, Allie, take it away. Time for What's Happening.
Can I just say, every time we do that montage and it gets to Dream Car,
same.
Kevin and I both go, oh, like it just sounds good at 3-second clip.
Yep.
I same. Love Dream Car
so much. I need
to much.
Listen to them more now.
Man.
Yeah.
And I feel like since he started with Dream Car in that one, that means it's the last time we're going to hear it in a montage.
Oh, that could be.
Probably going to fall off next year.
This but is really upsetting.
Here's the thing. They have an album.
Does it still exist?
Yes.
Okay.
You
all
can
right.
get it. Yeah.
I love it. I do love Dream Car, you guys.
I assume you already have it. Nari, I already have it, but we just
we
need to go
have
back.
It. We but every time we hear that little it. Clip, yep. we're like, yes, Dream Car.
So good.
You guys, Jeff Bridges, he teased the possibility of the Dude coming back. We see a little bit of a video. He's wearing that classic sweater at the Pendleton. And then the date, 2-3-19, comes up. So people are wondering, okay, is it just a Super Bowl ad? He's just going to come back as a dude for an ad. Who knows? Doritos, bubblegum, white Russians. We don't know what he's selling. Or could it possibly be a Super Bowl ad to alert us to a new Big Lebowski movie?
Interesting.
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no new movie?
No to all
no
of it?
No new movie. I'm going to say they brought just the character commercial? Back mm-hmm. for a TV commercial, I think.
What do you think the commercial's going to be for?
Don't know.
A rug?
Oh, that ties the room together?
Right.
I love it.
I think it's going to be just for Gecko.
Just insurance.
Yeah, just okay. It's going to be a real sellout move. And then
right.
they're going to use all the Coen brother movies, Doritos, Miller's Crossing. They're all Hudsucker Proxy is going to be for like Pepto-Bismol.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, this is opening the floodgates.
I like it.
You did a deep dive right there.
I'm
I appreciate
Coen
it.
Coen brother head.
Oh, good Lord. Well, now is the time where we start seeing all the little sneak peeks of the ad. So we saw a new teaser for the upcoming Doritos Super Bowl ad with the Backstreet Boys attempting to teach Chance the Rapper some of their signature dance moves. Do we need that?
Guys, here's the thing about the commercial.
Sure.
Every 364 days a year, you try not to watch anything live so you can fast forward through mm-hmm. the ads on television. Mm-hmm. And now one day we're going to pretend we're excited to see them?
I think there are people who are genuinely excited to see them.
There are people mm-hmm. that just watch the Super Bowl for the ads.
I'm just not one of them. I don't care about ads.
I don't think I could tell you my favorites. Like, I don't think I can even remember them, which is the, that's what you're supposed to do
oh,
with a commercial.
All GoDaddies. That's all I know.
Right, right. The perv
yeah. Oh, you like that. Yeah, I loved all every single Budweiser one.
Oh, with the horses?
With the Clydesdales right. and then the one with the little golden retreat. Oh, my
they
God.
They really know what they're doing.
And that's
the
why
best.
You still always, when I see you in the morning, you always go, what's up?
What's like, up?
Yeah.
And I always
still doing
I
it.
Crack a Budweiser
yeah,
every
it.
Morning before
now,
the show.
Now, does that translate into any product loyalty for Budweiser for you, Allie?
No.
Not at all.
No.
So that ad is not effective.
No. But I do love golden retrievers and Clydesdales.
Okay.
And I have bought both recently.
And it's my favorite beer.
It is.
Yep.
Excellent. But because of the ads?
No, before, but the ads are fantastic.
Yeah.
But I like it because I like it.
Yeah.
Not because of the commercial. Not because of the commercial.
No one's yelling at me.
I'm just saying.
I mean, calm down.
Okay. Play that again.
From Home Alone. It's when she realizes that
he's
Kevin,
not with
that
Kevin's
understand
missing.
It.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Come on!
All right.
Come on now.
We also have found out how we could all win during the Super Bowl. And how we win is if there's a tie game and they go into overtime.
Nah, bitch.
Okay.
Nah, bitch. Here's the thing. This all has to do with Buffalo Wild Wings. Are you aware that last year during the Super Bowl, they served an astounding 14 million wings to their customers? So they decided they're going to do a special promotion this year. If the game goes to overtime, they're going to give everyone in America a free snack size orders of wings on February 18th between 4 and 7 p.m. Write this down. February 18th between 4 and 7 p.m. That portion equates to about 5 wings. You can get boneless or traditional style. Here's the thing. You can't just walk in there and be like, give me my wings and leave. You have to...
Yeah, that's what I normally do.
Right?
Give me my wings.
You have to dine in. Which is some BS, Buffalo Wild Wings. If you're going to do this promotion, let people just get their wings. Right? Why do they have to sit there? Oh, because you know if they sit there, they're also going to get a drink, and they're also going to get other stuff. So really, wow, who's the winner here, Buffalo Wild Wings? You are.
I will say, though, that it is interesting. Super Bowls have gone into overtime before, right? That's happened before, I feel.
Rarely.
Yeah.
I don't once remember.
In a while it happens. But both of the championship games to get to the Super Bowl both went into overtime.
Yeah, true.
So it certainly can happen. Certainly possible.
When do we discuss?
They've only went to Super Bowl overtime once.
Oh
wow! In history, wow.
Yeah,
and when was that?
It was Patriots rallying for 25 points against the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh that's sure right. Did. Yeah, just a couple years ago. Okay. Yeah.
How'd that one end up? Do we remember?
I think your parents were happy that night.
Ew! Gross. Right?
There's
some double dipping going on.
Oh. I mean, that is probably true. That's all I'm saying.
Big fat, juicy pickles.
All right. We know who's going to be at the Grammy Awards performing. We already know Camila Cabello, Cardi B, Danice, Post Malone, Shawn Mendes, Janelle Monáe, Kacey Musgraves. But new people added yesterday. Brandi Carlile, Miley Cyrus, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Whoa. That's interesting, right?
This is the show, though, where they always, almost always combine acts, so you don't know who's going to be playing
with
you.
Well, you do. It's Post Malone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Wearing his Crocs, I hope.
I hope he is.
With the giblets. Say it.
Giblets.
It's so
gibbets,
weird.
Gibbets.
Giblets, isn't it?
Not lits. Gibbets. Although I add an L to amplifier, so... Mm. Or, no. Amphitheater. What's happening? I think they're gibbets.
Okay, they're gibbets.
Are they gibbets?
Giblets sound tasty, though.
Well, giblets is like a food, right?
They're on target.
Apologies. Apologies for that. Hey, next what's happening, I want to play you a little Chris Pine rapping. Biting on a hot Carl kind of tip.
All right.
What? Yeah. Biting on a hot Carl tip.
You just said that.
He's not even my favorite Chris, so...
Oh, that's harsh. Which one is?
I would go with... Well, I do like Chris Pine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he
stay
got me in
target.
The...
Stay on target.
It's Chris Pine.
Chris Pine's your favorite Chris?
Yeah, I got beaten there.
Yeah. I'm Evans. And then Pine. And then Pratt. Then Hemsworth.
I'm Pratt.
I am Columbus.
Columbus. You would be white,
I'm
man.
Cross.
Nice. Jump, jump, Chip. Well done. Is that Chris Cross?
Yeah.
Daddy Mac will make you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No one's listening
now,
right?
Stay on target.
Okay,
stay on target.
All right. Happy birthday to Alicia Keys, and that's what's happening.
About this time every week, we do a little feature we like to call Keep It 100. Hit it, Steve.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
It is a simple concept, basically. Any song you love that K-Rock has, we'll play it for you. And we got some excellent suggestions again this week. Texter number 99 was Valente, I want to say, from the 714. Looking for Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica.
Aww.
Wouldn't have been mad at that.
Nice request.
Yeah. Texture 101, Luke from Silver Lake, Eyes Without a Face by your boyfriend Billy Idol, Allie.
I do love Billy Idol.
But unfortunately, only one can be Texture 100. Let's go up to the 559 and say hi to Alberto. He's in Fresno.
Hey, Alberto.
What's up, guys?
How are you? What you sipping?
Fresno, what you sipping?
Oh, man, right now just some coffee.
All right.
Alberto, what's going on in Fresno this weekend?
Oh, man, it's a pretty chill weekend for me, but it's going to be a really busy February. So it's kind of like the last chance that I get to just relax. And,
all right.
And this song always kind of gets me going for that.
All right. I know you guys are going to yell at me, but I can't leave it hanging there. What's going to be happening in February, Alberto?
The company that I work for sends me all over the place to film their live events. So so that's going
all right. So it's just travel,
February.
travel.
Yeah.
Travel.
Just, so this
yeah,
is a
exactly.
little slow time before work gets busy. I got you.
What
okay,
city
exactly,
are you most
yeah.
excited to see?
Allie, why do you make it
don't
worse?
Yell at Allie. Are you nervous at all no. about the shutdown regarding
yeah.
your travel?
Will that affect
the
your
TSA?
Travel?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm definitely worried.
Okay.
All right. I think we now know as much as we need to about Alberto.
Yeah.
How did you select
yeah,
the song?
I can tell you more. I mean,
thank you,
Alberto.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right.
I love
him. How did you pick the song that you wanted to request for Keep It 100?
Well, after you said Metallica, I was like, oh, man, can we go back to that?
Oh, come on. Stand by your choice. This is my favorite. By the way, this is my favorite song you could pick. I love this song.
Oh, man. Yeah. Paramore, Hard Times, best song to get hyped to.
Love it.
That's a great suggestion, Alberto. Go ahead and get high. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
H-Y-P-E.
Yeah, hi. Whatever.
Hi. Yeah. Keep it warm.
With the come on, Alberto and Fresno. What a great choice.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Now, did he say he liked to get high to that song or get hyped to that song?
He said hype.
He said hype, but we kept interpreting as high.
I heard high. I'm sorry.
They could be the same.
You don't get high to that song.
Not
no,
usually.
You definitely get hype.
Okay.
Yeah. That is a great song, and that was a great suggestion. Allie, I feel like this is one that you'll have no trouble nailing. We always ask you, the Keep It 100 song, when did it come out?
Well, I remember two weenie roasts ago, Paramore opened with that song and closed with that song.
Oh, that's
we got
right.
to hear it
again.
Twice, which would make it 2017.
Yay! I was just about to say.
But the album probably came out in 2016.
You got saved.
Yes, it was amazing. Released on April 19th, 2017. Hard Times, by the way, it says here lyrically, is about the feeling of going through hard times. So that's very good information. Thank you, Wikipedia, for that. Great suggestion for Keep It 100. We'll do it again next Friday here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
If you would like a pair of tickets to sit cage side for the Bellator Heavyweight World Grand Prix featuring Fedor and Ryan Bader at the Forum, you could call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We will take caller 20. 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20.
To keep my hands on myself.
Pacific K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 919. We just did keep it 100, but Jensen, for some reason today you've been saying keep it a bean. What does that mean exactly?
Here's the thing. I'm an NBA head. I watch as much basketball as possible.
Okay. You can't just be a fan. You have to be an NBA head.
Yeah, no, I'm an NBA head. And so much so that I watch post-press conferences.
Wow!
Because they're funny and sometimes...
Most of the time they're dull. Sometimes they're funny.
Well, basketball, yes. Okay. Football's rough. Yeah, watch those. Yeah. Basketball, though... sometimes every once in a while something gets brought up and you're like, did he just say that? And so recently DeMarcus Cousins played his first game of the season. It's kind of a story that people are excited to see over at Golden State. And he started talking and then he said this when someone asked him a question.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Okay.
I'm going to keep it a bean.
I'm going to keep it a bean.
That's what he said.
Now, what?
Immediately my ears pop up because always listening for drops.
Right.
And keep it a bean, pretty good.
Yeah.
So I started to do a deep dive on keep it a bean.
I'm going to just keep it a bean.
Yeah. And listen to how natural he
sounds. Yeah. Like he's been saying it for 10 years.
Yeah. And he may have because this is a much deeper and historic slang term than I thought. At Urban Dictionary, it says it means keeping it real, let's get it, keep it flowing, and stay fresh.
All of the things we associate with beans.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all very chill.
Staying fresh.
I feel like I should be suing somebody right now for biting my look.
This is a guy who off-air has repeatedly been telling us to wish a famous hippo happy birthday during what's happening.
That's correct, yes.
So I'm pretty sure he keeps it a bean.
Mm-hmm.
In Urban Dictionary, it says that this is the example of dialogue. Bob, all right, yo, I'll see you later. Keep it a bean. Larry says back to him, all right, deuces.
Okay.
I mean, I doubt Bob and Larry are having that conversation.
No, definitely not.
I do too.
So I went deeper, and I found a video by a rapper producer named Made in Tokyo who explains not only keep it a bean, but I'm going to give it a bean, a bunch of different ways you could say bean. Let's listen to that.
On a bean, on point. Your bean is your point. If you're on bean, you're on point. You could be on a baked bean. You could be on a barbecue bean. You could be on a lima bean. Whatever, it could be a bean situation. If you're in the studio and you're like, yo, turn my headphones up, turn my headphones up. And then you be like, you sitting here and you singing, you trying to get your situation right. And then he gets you right and you hear it and you sounding like genuine. You be like, yo, got me on the bean. Got me on the bean, yo, you got me on the bean. We lit.
So that's it. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you could say, keep it a bean, I'm on a bean.
How did you track how far back this goes?
This goes back like 15 years.
Does it really? No.
There's many. Okay, here's the story. It seems to be, I can't get one direct definition. I mean, I can get the definition. I can't get the space of origin.
Right.
So like some people say it started in Atlanta. That seems to be one of the more
our people.
Popular ones. Yes, our people. They're going to meet the Ramilies soon. And we'll know keep it a bean when we get there.
Right?
Yeah.
And then there's people.
Right, we're going to say, we're going to be all excited. We're going to say it, and somebody's going to look at us like,
what are you doing?
What are you talking about?
There's a lot of people who think it started in Oakland as well. It's sort of all over the place. But how consistent is this? Let's listen to a bunch of songs that say keep it a bean in it. First, this is Kerr with a song called Keep It a Bean.
This is just too weird.
There's so many.
Let's keep it a bean. Yeah. Feel me? I already knew she wasn't gonna keep it a bean.
Come on.
We all gonna be cool. I promise I put that on rain.
Okay.
Did you know this bean?
No.
You didn't know anything about it.
Never
me either.
Heard of it before.
No. Then the next song is a guy named Jameer.
Is it still in this one?
No.
Clip?
Just okay. Move on. This one is called, guess what it's called?
Something about beans.
It's called Keep It a Bean. Keep it's a by bean. Jameer.
Know that. I keep it a bean. We all keep it 300. 215 to 401, I'm running. Look at my team, you don't see us coming. Look at my team, better know we coming.
Cause
I keep it a bean,
but
y'all keep it 300.
Okay.
This
is it like keep it 100, so a bean is like a number?
No, no one knows that. That's not in
Why?
Any of the reasoning.
Because it sounds like it's being used a lot, very similarly to keep it 100.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, let's ask Eat a Goat, featuring Rizzy Raw.
Just keep it the beam, bitch, I am a queen. Ay, 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 ay. Just keep it the beam, bitch, I am a queen. Ay, ay. Just keep it the beam, bitch, I am a queen. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
What? That's a song.
You want more? Here's what? Mally with a what? Song called Keep It a Bean.
Hey, when I'm going all in, I give it a bean. One thing about me, I keep it a bean. They ain't really on their job, let's keep it a bean. They ain't really working for my squad, let's keep it a bean.
What?
Let's keep it going.
Is...
This is wreaking havoc with
what?
Keep It a Bean.
Long as you keep it a bean with me, you can fuck the whole scene with me. Long as you keep it a bean with me, you can fuck the whole scene with me. Long as you keep it a bean, yeah, we can fuck the whole scene.
This is ridiculous.
I found 18 songs called Keep It a Bean.
Oh, my God.
Ranging from 4 views to 500,000
wow.
views.
Wow.
Yeah. Jensen, how did you not know about this earlier with all the time you spent on Black Twitter?
I have no idea. I think that this, number one, needs to be championed. Mm-hmm. I think we could be at the forefront.
Well, on Fridays, we do Keep It a Bean.
Right.
On 9 o'clock, people text in.
By the way, we have enough references to play a montage.
So older white guy, can I keep it a bean?
No.
Honestly, your name is Bean.
Right?
I can't think of someone who deserves to use this term more.
Mm. But could he pull it off is the question.
Try it, Bean.
All right, there's your answer.
That is my answer.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Where's the thing?
It's a shame there's no... way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff. Right?
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know, I barely listen.
We've come to another close of the week, my friend, so let me break it down for you as it officially ends. I'ma keep it a bean, I know it's hard to understand. I cry like a baby when dogs die on Instagram, and beer mug will run a wedding if he acts like a pro, but that's as likely as striker hitting 50 free throws. Feldy and Hoppus and Monkey all stopped by, and Ezra played a new song, he seemed like a nice guy, and we talked to a dude who cleaned sewers as a kid, and Bean reminded us Florida's a weird place to live, and Dr. Drew got political, it got on my nerves, and newscasters made us laugh with the play of some words.
Well, there's an app for that.
That makes me sick. I'd rather pay $40 for a clip from Andy Dick. Can't believe it's now Friday. The week goes so fast. And if you missed that, download the podcast.
That's good advice. Wherever your podcasts come, including radio.com, be sure to catch up on all the good shows, plus the Kevin and Bean Show. All right. Available right there. Nice work, Jensen.
Thank you.
Allie's here with our final look at what's happening on this Friday.
It's Friday, Yay. First of all. Friday. Day.
Yay.
Day.
Yay, yarf.
Thank you, Kevin. And of course, every Friday we are joined by the lovely and talented Kat Corbett, who sits in. She's going to tell us some real fun things to check out in L.A.
That's
coming
not
up.
What you called me earlier, off the mic.
Well, that's off the mic. Well,
listen, I called you a bitch, but y'all are a bitch. All right?
All right.
You guys, what's up with actors and actresses going on late night talk shows and then asking like they're just super surprised to ask to perform a rap? I never thought you'd ask me that. Hit it. So here's the thing. This lovely man, Chris Pine, handsome, talented, a lot of shirtless scenes if you watch movies a lot. He dazzles us in many ways. But he was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he was asked about the first song that he actually learned the lyrics to. And this was it.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Ice back with my brand new invention, something. Grab the hold of me tightly. Daily and nightly, will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow to the extreme. I'll rock the mic like a man. I'll light up the stage to wax a chump like a candle. Wow.
That's terrible, right?
Yep, that was not good.
Really bad.
It wasn't great.
But I mean, do you expect great?
No.
From the him rapping?
I don't know. Vanilla Ice is so simple. It's so simple.
Yeah.
I'd still hit that, though.
100%. Right? I think that's the takeaway. Isn't Vanilla White Ice is the one that was running around stabbing people, right?
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife. But he's running. He's going to stab people.
Because he stabbed people.
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
No, let's investigate more. Why is Vanilla Ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole like a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you
house?
Talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of
stab anybody.
Screech.
You were confusing Vanilla Ice.
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah,
I mean, come on.
That was a moment with
Kevin. Practically the same person, am I right?
Very, very similar.
Wow.
Woof. Goodness gracious. That was a lot right there. I agree, ma'am. I agree. Hey, Kat, did you see Roma?
No, I have the screener and it's staring at me and I feel like it's really heavy and I need to be in a space where I can handle it.
Isn't it also on Netflix? Like you can watch it at any moment.
Yeah, I could do that too.
No, she wants to be super industry, right?
Wow.
She wants to watch it on screeners.
All right.
I'm sorry.
She has her own theater that they've invited her to for a screening.
Is it because it's subtitled or black and white or are you just racist? What's keeping you away from Roma?
What's going on?
No, I have the, Jensen's going to pick on me. I have this stack of screeners which physically I can look at. I don't have to log in to Netflix.
So busy going to the Soho House and doing meetings. I know what it's like, Miss Scriptwriter.
I have to be in the mood to see that. Have to be in the mood.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because obviously it's become one of 2018's most celebrated films, up for 10 Academy Award nominations. But one of the men in the film, Jorge Antonio Guerrero, he plays Furman in the hit, may not be able to attend the ceremony because he can't get a visa to come into town.
Come on.
Yeah.
He just needs a...
He said, here's his quote. The first time I applied was at the beginning of last year. Back then, I didn't have anything related to the movie, and my intentions were just for tourism. But then I started receiving invitations from Netflix in October and November to attend red carpets and the Golden Globes. But he hasn't been able to get a visa. But does he need a visa just to come in?
Yeah, it's work.
It's,
for work?
It's considered work to go to the award show.
Yeah.
Well, can we just marry him for, like, the weekend?
I don't know what he looks like, but I will marry the director.
Well, I would marry him so he can come go to his party. Come on.
How about
to build a wall.
You marry Jorge, and I will marry Alfonso Cuarón, the director.
She's so sad and lonely.
It's true. Which brings us to this story, and I'm glad you're here, Kat.
Oh, God.
Marriage has advantages and disadvantages, and a new study finds that those who aren't married or divorced are generally living shorter lives.
Wow.
Here's the part that just...
That is such BS.
It made me laugh so hard. This study found that unmarried men walk 11 centimeters slower than married men.
What?
While unmarried women walk 9 centimeters slower than women who had tied the knot. What?
What a
yeah,
waste.
We're still wearing heels.
What a waste of a life to do that research.
Who's doing that research?
But what about this little tidbit? They found that divorced women were found to have a weaker grip than married women. Right, because they can't hold on to men. Their grip is weak.
This is
These
weird.
Are studies that people pay companies to do these studies. It's insane.
How would you even think of that? How would you think of, let's compare married people to unmarried people and how long they live?
And how much slower they walk. What kind of company would buy that research?
Yeah, the walking part I don't understand. I completely understand, is there any difference between people who are married and single and how long they live? I completely understand why you'd be interested in that.
What are you going to do with that?
But the gait thing, I don't get at all. Well, I think they're just looking for factors that contribute to mental health. That's
I think Kat brought up a good point, why we walk slower when we're single. Because we're wearing heels.
Yeah, we're still wearing heels.
We're still sexy.
You know, everybody else is in their soft pants and, sneakers.
Exactly. And they're all running home like, oh, God, I have kids. And we're like, take your time.
Exactly. We're going to happy hour.
I'm headed to the bar in my heels.
Right?
Sexy times.
Bringing it.
See, we just turned this whole research on ass.
I'm in with you.
All right, Kat, what is happening around town?
Well, we are doing our very first K-Rock Locals Only Fest. We're releasing a vinyl compilation.
Oh, hold on. Let the crowds let them just feel it.
You have to live in it. Live in it.
I should practice this so the audience dies down so my comedy can come through. So we were trying to think of something new to do, and Linda Perry, who could possibly make history with for Producer of the Year if she scores that Grammy, because she worked with Dolly Parton on the film Dumplin', which is on Netflix. She has this company called We Are Here. It's a management publishing company, and she's like, we bought a pressing plant. Let's do something. Wow. So we got together, and we're going to release this vinyl, and we did a big vote.
I love this.
And so we came down to 10 bands that everyone voted on.
Take it in.
Let it sit.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's gone over. Sorry.
My Oscar speech is going to suck. No one's going to hear it. And so we have what we were doing, a two nights at the Terragram Ballroom. And tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. 10:67 is the ticket. And it's two nights, the 8th and 9th. And it features Side A and Side B of all of these bands, the top 10. I tweeted the link, and it's going to be wicked fun.
I love it. Has voting just been insane?
Yeah. And, you know, we were really surprised because, no one votes.
They're clapping.
I know.
But no, let it
it's
go. Not good.
Yeah, let's.
Not a lot of. Clapping.
This is maybe just one band playing. This is one band playing. Yeah.
I think they sound enthused. You keep going.
Okay. Oh, I can talk. Yeah, go ahead.
Talk to her.
Well, it sounds like it's getting louder though.
I talk now.
Oh, okay.
You can talk.
Are they laughing at me?
Well, they're not. There's no one else talking.
You're the one talking.
So anyway, I hope to see you. This is going to be a wicked good time, and it's the first one. So K-Rock Locals Only Fest. Tickets on sale at 10.
10 today.
10 today.
13 minutes. Right?
Wow, you just did math.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Wow.
Mataklan. Hey, guys, some birthdays for you. Just one, Alicia Keys, because Fiona the Hippo is a dick. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home here on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey now, this is getting interesting.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Y'all are killing it right now.
Roll another one.
Sit down.
Just like the other one.
About to say the N-word.
This one seems to be about quit.
That did not feel sincere.
And I need another hit.
It's just like when you believe that you want cheese on that burger. You know what you're looking for.
Wow, that was really tough to hear out loud, but totally true.
Cleanse
us.
Just like the other one.
Hattie's gonna hate.
This one seems to be about
Spend. Peter's gonna hate.
And I don't have another sin.
That's called sarcasm, which is something that's gonna be very important for you to learn in life.
From the moment that joins,
there's no catch.
Just pass it around.
It gave me a boner.
And the boner that joined my friend.
Hey, Allie.
And just pass it on down.
The mic has been dropped.
How was it? Was it everything?
That was not great for me.
Whoop, 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 whoop. That's it. That's, oh. Oh, that's it. That's it. Oh, no.
It was perfectly fine. Yeah.
I just don't think, like, this world, this process, this journey, this show, like, I just don't think, like, it's for you.
And one day, you were going to look back at this, probably pretty soon, and think, what the f*** was I thinking?
Bong, bong.
Glitter.